Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight is Monday, February 3rd, 2014, and we've got a lot to share tonight. I'd like to start off with a quote from Thomas Jefferson. Actually, it's a couple of quotes kind of put together. Thomas Jefferson said, "I know no safe depository of the ultimate powers of the society but the people themselves." And if we think them not enlightened enough to exercise their control with a wholesome discretion, the remedy is not to take it from them, but to inform their discretion by education. This is the true corrective of abuses of constitutional powers. Educate and inform the whole masses of the people. They are the only sure reliance for the preservation of our liberty. An enlightened citizenry is indispensable for the proper functioning of a republic. Self-government is not possible unless the citizens are educated sufficiently to enable them to exercise oversight. It is therefore imperative that the nation see to it that a suitable education be provided for all its citizens. Thomas Jefferson. And of course, well, our government has been infiltrated by the enemy of liberty. We call them progressives. They control both the Republican and the Democratic parties, and they control every single political party out there. They have infiltrated everything. And obviously that's why we do not have an education that is able to give us the discretion to be able to correct the abuses, to recognize the abuses, to understand how to do this. And that, of course, is the purpose of National Liberty Alliance. That's what it was put together with, that idea in mind, in order to bring people back to understanding what's going on and to find a way to stop the abuse upon the people and the destruction of our liberty, common law. All right, we've got quite a few people on tonight. We do have two chat rooms for those of the people listening in on Blog Talk. We have a chat room also on our own site, nationallibertyalliance.org. And, of course, there's a chat room over on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, we have quite a few people who have already called in. We've got a lot of callers already, but we do not have many people with their hands up, but I'm sure that'll change by the time we get through what we have to talk about. A quick update on New York. It's been a pretty busy week, a lot of activities and things going on, trying to keep things going, writing papers. We're getting more and more populated. I'm getting more and more phone calls. It is possible at some point I might have to reduce my answering of phones to maybe just a couple hours every day or something. I usually try to answer throughout the day, but it does prevent me from getting a lot of writing done. But we did work on the presentments. We are bringing up charges, a true bill, as most of you know, against a Supreme Court judge in Greene County and a chief court clerk in Greene County also. As many already know, we've already brought forth charges against four of the highest Supreme Court judges of New York. And, of course, we're going after this other judge and the clerk for failing to bring forward the true bill. We've got a lot of things going on, and there's some negative things I want to talk about, but I want to try to focus in on the positive things and the different things that we've put together. We didn't file we're going to have the papers filed by sheriff, and hopefully we'll get them out tomorrow morning and before the end of the day tomorrow. We're going to be serving the only judge left standing in Greene County. He's newly elected. We've already dealt with this guy before. He's no better than the rest of them. But we'll see what he does. with the papers. We'll serve him directly by sheriff because the other judge is under indictment and he can't receive it. The chief clerk can't receive it because she's under indictment. So we're going to directly serve it into the hands of this judge. And I'm going to be calling for a meeting here in New York before this week is out. If we do not hear from this guy to go forward immediately with his duty, we're going to by maybe next weekend hopefully meet with all the grand jurists throughout the state and discuss potential presentment on this individual also. This is all part of the plan. We never thought we would get this, that it would be easy to get into a courthouse. And actually in New York, we're kind of blessed on the way things went because our plan has always been to go after the people who were preventing the people from coming in to take a seat within their courthouse. That has always been the plan. And we figured we'd be going after a clerk here and a judge there and so on and so forth. But they really helped us out quite a bit in the beginning because the second highest court, the second highest judge here in New York, wrote a memorandum with the blessings along with her boss and two other judges and sent it out to every clerk, both on the county level and the chief court clerks, demanding that they not receive our paperwork. And that has been a blessing because it made the targets the highest judges of New York. And other states, we're suggesting that they follow the routine that we follow. And when you're ready to do it, if you need our assistance, we'll talk with you and we'll assist you. We'll help you with the papers. That's why we are having these Monday meetings to show you what we're doing here in New York step by step. We file all the papers and we post them up on our website under breaking news. So anybody can go back from the very beginning. Just go down to the bottom of the page and work your way up. And you can read all of the things we've done. And this is the process that people need to be following. We need to be merciful in many ways, offer them lots of chances, let them put their heads into the noose themselves, as we're trying to be as graceful as possible. But we're moving forward. And I can assure you that by the time we come to the end of this month, or at worst case, the very beginning of next month, is going to be like a ballistic missile exploding here in New York, because we have some things that is part of the procedures and part of the process that's going to blow their doors off. And I think a lot of people are going to be very surprised on some of the moves we're going to make here. Obviously, we can't talk about it, so we have to reveal it as we go forward, but rest assured it's there. I've gotten email from people, or one person in particular, who said that we don't have any teeth, but they're part of what we're doing. I mentioned this last week. We don't have any teeth, but they're part of what we're doing. But when they get there, they're going after these judges with the UCC. Well, we'll visit you in jail, but please don't mention our name and disconnect yourself from this website and from us as a people, because that's not what we're doing. We're going through the procedures and the process. That's an act of war, and it's not going to get you anything but jail time, I assure you. I know a lot of people that went after this UCC stuff and chased after judges, and most of them went to jail. Very few people really understand how all that works. I have never studied it. I just have a basic understanding and knowledge of it. My interest isn't there. My interest is saving the republic and doing it according to process and procedures that our founding fathers have put in place and still exist, and it's still being used. So we're going to use that process, and we're going to take our buildings back, one building at a time, and we're going to win the people's minds back, one person at a time. And that's how we're going to accomplish our goal. And I know a lot of people would like to see it go a lot faster. Believe me, I would too. I really kind of hoped we could have gotten this done before this year came in. And I thought we might be able to. But, I always set high goals for myself, and it's not necessarily good, but, it doesn't bother me that I don't make it, because I know it's going to be made anyway eventually. Ultimately, the will of God will be done, and justice will prevail. However that happens, if it happens to us or some other group, or maybe he just arrives on the clouds of glory and that's it. So however that happens, that's his business, and he hasn't revealed that to me. Nevertheless, we as a people need to stand for justice and go forward. Now, I can't really say anything more about what's going on in New York until maybe next week. We'll give a little more. And like I said, and we're doing a major campaign over the course of the next 3 weeks, a really major campaign. We are setting up elections in counties all across the state. And we are really got high hopes that by the time the end of this month comes, we'll have minimum 30 counties elected into the system, plus the 18 we already have, that's 48, and we have 63 altogether. We think we'll probably be more than that. Right now, we're set up with almost 30. And we may be able to have some more elections before that time, and other people will be kind of mopping up the miscellaneous counties that we didn't get to, that are kind of far away, or whatever the case may be, you know, in rural areas and stuff. And we'll get to them. And we really think there's a good possibility, if we don't have every county by the end of February, we'll have most of them. And that will set New York in the position to do what it really has to do if we haven't achieved it by then. And that's when I think you're going to see some surprising things happening here in New York. But they may break before that. We keep putting the pressure on. These people, no doubt, are frightened. There's no doubt about that. And they should be, rightly so, because the people are coming home. And the people are understanding. They're learning. We still have a lot of people that do not come to our Monday night calls. We do get a lot of downloads, but we don't get the numbers that we expect that we should get on those downloads. To the state coordinators, you need to work real hard to make sure that every county coordinator gets to these Monday night meetings. If they have some other events that go on Mondays that they can't break away from, they should at least be downloading these meetings and listening to them. It is extremely important that people come to these meetings. We have some people who have signed in, maybe come for little things here or there, taking some stuff off of our website, downloading some of the process, or maybe not even downloading the process at all, and then going off half-cocked, thinking they know what they're doing. Well, without research, they're going to fail. Every grand jury that I'm aware of, I'm not aware of any grand jury that has been successful in what we're doing yet, not one. I'm not aware of it. I know they're in Florida, Arizona, California, and various other places, and they've all failed. None of them have a seat in the building. None of them have taken control of even their county. None of them are working under the auspices of justice within the courthouse. None of them. Zero. Our primary goal is to get into that courthouse and work under the auspices of justice right there in that courthouse at arm's length from that judge. Stay away from me. You stay there. I'm staying here. Just stay away from me. Arm's length. I'll tell you what to do, and he's going to listen. But we'll do that humbly, of course. You know, I say this kind of, myself with a little arrogance almost sometimes, but really, we're going to do it humbly, and I'm going to do it humbly. And we're going to really try to talk to these people and reason with them, and if they can't be reasoned with, then we have no choice but to do what we have to do, and that is to indict them. But again, we have a lot of people taking off doing strange things out there. They either need to stop. Someone has got to get a hold of these people. Look it. This is not a top-down organization. I don't tell anybody what to do. I suggest very strongly what they should be doing. I've done the research with other people. We've done the research, and we've put it together. It's all out there. And if people can build upon that, that's fine. But you got to stay with the procedures and the processes that have been set up within the judicial process. You have to say, go forward with a sense of honor, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy, the principles that will be the only things that will bring us through. And when people go off onto another direction without knowing what they're doing, they're only going to get themselves in trouble and everyone else that's following them. I'm telling you, people have gone to jail in Florida for problems with creating a grand jury. They're extremists. We're not doing anything that breaks the law. There's nothing they could do to us. And we're very well structured within the process that they had that set up. And so it's up to the people to recognize who these people are. You know, it's up to the people to see the egos, to see the infiltrators, to see the people who are acting, you know, in ignorance ultimately. You know, if you're hearing what we're doing here and what, if someone else is trying to lead you a different way, you better start thinking about what's going on and discussing it with other people and discover the truth. I think we've been around long enough and doing things long enough that you can at least trust us as you look forward and look into these things and check us out and see what we're doing, that we're doing it the correct way. But, again, it's up to you people to do it. We have some people, you know, look at this. Let's take the state coordinators. The state coordinators aren't my choice. I ask people to volunteer. We get as many volunteers as possible. We get things going and organized. And, you know, their job is to coordinate. That's their job. They're not leaders, anything beyond a coordinator. And to represent their state here, National Liberty Alliance, as far as what goes on this website. And so it's up to the county coordinators to make sure they have a good state coordinator. I've gotten calls where people have asked to remove one state coordinator, and this is their decision. I have no decision-making about that. That's not my business. I'm not getting involved in anybody's state business, and no one else is going to get involved in another state's business. I'm busy here in New York. And what we're here for is just to share the research we've brought together, create a platform for people to communicate and to organize and to be able to find each other and to educate. That's what we're here for. And, you know, if at some point you start to see orders coming down from the top, then we've been infiltrated. Flee this boat. It's time to go. But rest assured, as long as I have breath in me and I'm involved with this, and there's others, you know, if anything happens to me, there's others like Gerard, these people will maintain the same focus that we have right here. You in your state need to deal with your state business, and everybody in their county needs to be dealing with their county business. One county to another doesn't have any business in another person's county other than the fact to help, okay, support, come to their rescue, work together with them. But people in different counties may see things different than people in another county, and that's their business, you know. So same thing with the state, same thing from the national position. But, you know, we do have infiltrators. We have removed two people so far from National Liberty Alliance. They were no doubt infiltrators. I do not take it lightly, and it takes me a long time to look into these things to discover whether these people should be removed or not. Sometimes I may wait a little too long, but I'm just trying to be cautious because it's not my business to really, you know, get too involved with what people are doing out there. But when you see people that are coming in destructive, they're making believe they're us and saying terrible things to the news and disrupting elections, and you get all these reports, well, it's obvious who these people are. They got to go. So we've gotten rid of them. And we did add some words. We spoke about that to the people who joined. But we added some more words, and maybe when I get a chance a little later, I'll see if I can't get out there and peek and maybe read some of the new words we put out. That if people come in here and infiltrate, you know, we're going to take action against them. We're not going to tolerate it anymore. And I'll go out there a little later when I get time to click around the buttons here on the website while we're talking, and maybe I can find those words and read it to you. So no UCC stuff. You got to stay away from that. If you get involved in that, that's your business. Just break away from us, and please just don't connect yourself to National Liberty Alliance, because that's not what we're doing. These people that are doing these strange things are only going to hurt what the people are trying to do, and that's take back this nation. So it is up to the state leaders. It is up to the organizers to really pay attention to what's going on and be watchful for the enemy, the infiltrators, to be watchful for those people who are on some kind of ego trip trying to take control, to be watchful of those people who are ignorant and just jump into things and they're not doing their homework. They're just ignorant. And they're not studying. So Let's see. So there are procedures that must be adhered to if we're going to be successful. And if we don't adhere to these procedures, obviously we're not going to be successful. Just like all the others that have come this way and never really made it. And I see plainly why they didn't do it. They might have both been boned up on this, but not on that, or boned up on that and not on this. They haven't looked at the whole picture. They haven't looked at the court procedures and the processes. They haven't looked on how things work in the courts. They haven't looked at common law. And they haven't understood fiction, the fiction law well enough. You need to put all these things together in order to work out the plan and understand what our founding fathers had set up for us and how we can go down that path to take this country back. So, all right, I'd like to, we put together a letter, and this letter is a letter to the people of New York. And I think a lot of states, we're going to post this up maybe tomorrow. I got to go through it a little more and make sure, you know, we really have it perfected. But maybe tomorrow we'll post it, or the next day, and it'll be available up on the website. We will post it at, the jurist tab. If you click on the jurist tab on the far right, you know, we'll just hover over the jurist tab on the far right, and you get the drop-down box tabs. You go down to jurist documents, and that's where you're going to find this. You're also going to find this on the breaking news. We're going to add it on the breaking news because we're going to deliver this letter to the judge tomorrow and to the clerk. But it is a letter that actually is written to all the people of New York, to all the judges and all the sheriffs. And again, I think every state should follow this. You can take the letter exactly the way it is, just make sure it doesn't say New York stuff in it. Or you can tweak it a little bit, whatever you want to do. You know, that's your liberty to do, but try to keep it on point. But this is a letter that you don't want to go through to the judges until you really have engaged them, you know, to the people or anybody. Once you engage them, when the state comes together as a unified grand jury as we have in New York, and that's another problem that I got on my mind here. There is a group that have bypassed a state group. I'm going to be making some phone calls maybe during this week to talk to these people. Matter of fact, I'm going to call them all up in the state, I think, and find out what's going on, because they've developed and created a unified grand jury, but they have not elected one county grand jury. And not really elected, but constituted. That's a better word than elected. You know, we kind of go through election process. You raise the showing of hands, yeah, I'm for it, and kind of call that really constituting a common law grand jury. This is not by popular vote, although it turns out to be unanimous most of the time. They bypassed that step altogether, and they went straight to the unified state grand jury. And I'm not sure what they're doing there. I got to look a little deeper and to see what's happening up there. But hopefully, I hope they're not chasing down any court cases, any cases whatsoever. The only business we should be doing is getting access into the courts. Until we get access into the courts, you have no authority. Don't think you do. You do have the authority outside the courts, but you're not under the auspices of the court. The sheriffs don't recognize you. They'll think you're a bunch of wackos to begin with. They're not going to be on your side. You get a seat in that court, and that sheriff's going to be there listening to every word that you say, and he's going to take everything you say very serious. No matter how strange it seems to him, he's going to take it very seriously. But if you're not sitting in that courthouse, it doesn't mean nothing. He's going to see you as wacko, and that's it. So you're not going to gain your sheriff. Obviously, you're not going to control your judges. You're not going to be able to bring them into the common law. You're going to fail is what you're going to do. You have no power, no authority, nothing. No one's going to, you know, power requires recognition of power. You know, if no one knows you're the king, they're going to ignore you. You're just some nut, okay? Well, the people are the king, and we represent the people. We're the representative body. We are the king's bench. We are the reflectors of the king. We're there to bring back the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Magna Carta, back in its place in the halls of justice. That's what we're there to do. And no one's going to recognize that we have that job, and no one's going to understand that what we're doing, because it's going to seem very strange to them compared to what they've been living under, you know, all their lives and for generations. And now we're going to bring back common law. It's going to be a little bit of a culture shock to these people. So be it. And we're going to bring common law back. And people start living under common law, we're going to be feeling a lot better about things, and we're not going to be as threatened, and we're going to get control of our nation again, and of our states, and our elected officials, and our judges, and our courts. The people will be in charge again. So you can't go in there and create a unified grand jury. What are you unifying? You have no elected juries. You know, no one has been constituted. And you don't have a seat in the court. Clearly, from the state level, how are you going to take a seat in the court? Which courthouse are you going to go to? You know, we came up with the unified grand jury only to unify those grand juries that have been, constituted. That's the purpose. That's what we're unifying. We're putting all our stamps on a paper to get into that courtroom. And when we have 62 stamps or seals on that paper, let me tell you, that's going to be a lot more pressure than 18 seals. So, you know, again, we have to follow the process and the procedure. The state coordinator is elected by or decided by the county coordinators. We have no kings amongst us. People who understand certain things and they take the authority, well, we're expecting them to do that. But at some point, if the people in the state decide that they want someone else, or they want two or three, or whatever it is they want, that's what they get. You know, we can't self-appoint ourselves. And remember, we got to watch out for egos, because that's the major problem we have amongst us, more than infiltrators. But we do have infiltrators. Right now, I think we've gotten two of them. There is another one potentially, but we're going to wait and see, you know. But... And it's up to the people to find them, and we work together to do what has to be done. Okay, let me read this memorandum. It starts off, a disclaimer, this is an open letter to the people and the press that has a duty to inform them. It is expected that the court clerk and news media do due diligence to deliver a copy of the following memorandum to its expected recipients. The custodians receiving this communique have a duty to inform the people and their servants sworn to protect their liberty that presently rests on life support. An interception of said communique will be considered a dereliction of duty and obstruction of justice. Now, we're going to send this out tomorrow or the next day to about 800 news medias. Anybody from New York that's in this meeting tonight, or that will be listening on the audio, or will be talking with them throughout the next few weeks anyway, get a hold of this communique in its full, and call up your local newspapers and get a phone number for a press release, and email or fax it to that whatever number or email they give you. As a press release. Matter of fact, maybe we'll put on top of it also press release, or we'll put a front page called a press release. It is quite long. I just found I tried to do it as short as possible. We just couldn't do it. We had too many things to cover, and we had to be as efficient and with as much information as possible, so that when you come to the conclusion, it's undeniable. And so this is a 10-page letter. But it goes on. I'm only going to read the front page or two and the last page. I'm not going to read in between because it's too long to do that. So maybe I'll look at a few highlights possibly. But let's go through these first pages, page or two, and then the last page, and then we'll see what we do from there. So let's see where I'm at. Let me just pick it up here. to the expected recipients. The custodians receiving this communique have a duty to inform the people and their servants sworn to protect their liberty that presently rests on life support. Any interception of said communique will be considered a dereliction of duty, destruction of justice. From New York Unified Common Law Grand Jury. 2. Supreme Court judges, court clerks, county clerks, sheriffs, and the good people of New York. Reference, this is an urgent message concerning action, RICO, conspiracy at the highest level. These acts are perpetrated plain sight, unseen, because oath-takers are derelict of their duties due to ignorance by design, formity by non-attendance of duties, thereby seeing their discernment and placing the people, thereby searing their discernment and placing the people they have sworn to protect in jeopardy. Memorandum. The purpose of this memorandum is to make clear to all judges of the Unified New York Supreme Court, the jurisdiction of New York Supreme Court prescribed by law, and the laws of New York Supreme Court, the laws of New York Supreme, ordained and established by the people, that the replacement of the same by fiction is treason to the Constitution and violence against the sovereign people of New York. If said violence continues, by the will of the 62 Unified New York Common Law Grand Juries, it will result in a true bill, removal of all New York Supreme Court judges, clerks, and court officers who continue to terrorize the good people of New York by conspiracy, fiction, ignorance, and RICO. If the elected receivers of this memorandum are incapable of understanding, gain knowledge, or resign their office immediately. Serfs took an oath to obey the Constitution, and if they do not understand it, have taken this. The law is not an and will operate it. Laws are made for men, ending, and should be construed by ordinary rules of common sense. They are meant to be sought for subtleties with which may anything which may make anything anything or nothing at pleasure. Thomas Jefferson to William Johnson, 1823. If you do not understand the word, a word, look it up. Our founding fathers did not write legalese, but plain English. They did not write the Bill of Rights to be qualified, ignored, or licensed. The words "shall not be infringed" means exactly what it means exactly that, and not "shall be licensed, arrested, or forbidden." It's freedom of religion, possessive, not it's freedom of religion, possessive, not from. All people having standing when it comes to redressing our grievances. It's time to hold these perverters of liberty accountable before we have nothing to hold them accountable for. The questions that will be answered in this memorandum is, 1. What is the definition of a court of record? 2. Whose court is the New York Supreme Court? 3. Have the people repealed the common law? 4. Can legislators and or judges abrogate common law? 5. What jurisdiction are you in when you go into the New York Supreme Court? 6. The differences between the common law grand jury and the juries of the panels? And 7. What authority do they have to impanel and administrate to their own grand juries? Their own juries. Governments will be as just as our courts, and we the people thereafter. Our courts will be as just as the laws they uphold. Our courts represent the morality of the people. The very meaning of justice is synonymous with virtue, Black's Law 4th, which flows from that God are eternal, perfect, and natural, therein called natural law, also known as common law, so-called because it is common to all men. Okay, then we have the body of the letter, which we get into each one of these quotes and make it absolutely crystal clear the meaning thereof. I'm going to jump down to the bottom of this, read the conclusion, and then conversation. Or maybe I'll just read a few other things. But let me just get through the conclusion here. Here is the conclusion of the memorandum or letter or communication. Conclusion. The only position that New York judges claim in their attempt to lock the people out of their courts is none. They have not got one position from any of these judges why we should not be able to get in and get power. Yet everything we look, everywhere we go, everything, even their law requires that common law courts preside. And that's their require that. It's a matter of fact, it's New York Code 7. New York State Constitution, I believe it's Section 10, I think it is, where it says that the common law grand juries shall never done away with. They're eternal. You can't get rid of them. It's Article 2 of the New York State Constitution. It talks that all of the Supreme Courts are common law courts. They're courts of record. Meaning of a court of record is that court which proceeds according to common law. The United States Constitution requires only common law. The Supremacy Clause requires every day that. Common law is the law of the land, nothing else. The Bill of Rights lays it out. And the people are to, we have government by the people. The Fifth Amendment tells us that they can't arrest you, they can't convict you, they can't imprison you without getting permission of the people. Therein is the purpose of the grand jury and the trial juries. They have begging to the people saying, hey, this guy did this, that, or the other thing. We think he should go to jail, or we think he should be punished, or whatever it is they think that should be done. And if the grand jury agrees, it goes forward. If they disagree, take a hike. Grand jury has the ability to nullify the law if it thinks it's unjust. And all of these statutes are not law. They're nullified because they're not law to begin with. Same thing in the court. When you get into the court, it's up to the jury to decide whether they're guilty. They get to decide both statutes and law. That is clear everywhere I have read, everywhere I've looked. It's everywhere. You don't get anywhere where you see that the judges get to decide the law, except for you get into their stupid statutes. They're self-serving. So the people, no one can be imprisoned. No one can be arrested, imprisoned, and held, let's say that, imprisoned, tried, or anything. It's the people's job to do those things. They will make the decision who goes to jail and who doesn't, if that's necessary, or how a particular situation is to be settled to find a remedy. So let's read the conclusion here. This memorandum has clearly demonstrated the following facts. A court of record is a court that proceeds according to the common law and not statutes, whereas the judge is the magistrate with no tribunal powers. He doesn't get the choice to make a decision. That's the decision of the jury, period, end of subject. No judge can make a decision on any case. If he does, it's because you let him do it. It's that simple. You've given him consent by being silent. You should object. I object. I'm not in a nisi prius court. I'm in a court of record, according to the common law. And you don't have that authority to make that decision. That's the people's decision. So when you get thrown out with no standing, it's because you consented to the whole process. When you get thrown out because you don't have no cause of action, you gave them the authority to do that because you consented. As for me, I object. Anyway. Let me see where we're at. The Supreme Court belongs to the people, and the servant judges have no authority to refuse the people a seat in their own court. In doing so, they commit violence against the people and the Constitution. The people never gave legislators or authority to abrogate common law, nor could they, because rights are inalienable. Inalienable means they cannot be sold or traded away or given away. You can't move rights from one person to another. They're inalienable. They're given to every living soul. So no man can decide to get rid of common law. Once they get rid of common law, they've gotten rid of your inalienable rights. When the people enter their courts, they expect to be under constitutional protection that all judges took an oath to protect the people. Instead, the judges and lawyers defraud the people daily by hijacking the people into a nisi prius court under corporate charter, also known as corporatism, instead of a common law court under the Bill of Rights, also known as courts of justice. They have established impunity for themselves by creating statutory grand and trial juries controlled under their corporate charter, thus shielding themselves from the law that would end their criminal activities and obscene profits. The only solution to save our republic is for the people to stand up, constitute common law grand juries, common law juries, and return justice to our courts. The people of New York are just weeks away from completing that goal and will continue to consider indictments on every officer of the court that resists the people from their rightful heritage. Be fully advised that when we, the people, take back our house and that day draws nigh, we will not tolerate the answer from any oath taker saying, "The attorney general, the county attorney, or any other attorney told me so." But our grace will rest upon all those that we find doing their best to understand their duty and secure the republic. We the people come with mercy, but we will not tolerate and continue the ignorance that perpetrates the America in jeopardy. Where powers are assumed which have not been delegated, a nullification of the act is a rightful remedy. Thomas Jefferson, when he drafted the Kentucky Resolutions. Common sense is the foundation of all authorities of the laws themselves and their construction. Thomas Jefferson, New Orleans, 1812. And we come to the end, signed by order and on behalf of the Unified Common Law Grand Jury of New York, a signature labeled underneath Common Law Grand Jury Administrator. And then, of course, we have footnotes in these. It's very important when you read a document. What I do when I read a document that has footnotes to it, I read the document first without the footnotes, then I go back and read the document with the footnotes. And that gives me a good overrun, you know, overall feeling of the document before I start to look at the interpretation of it. But people should look at footnotes. You want to get involved in this stuff and you get into any legal matter, all the real stuff is in the footnotes. That's where the real power is, in the footnotes, in the authorities. Sometimes it's just references and it's just giving books, numbers, court cases and things like that. Well, okay, you're not going to necessarily look up the court case unless it really interests you. If that particular part of the subject interests you, you might want to get a copy of that case and read through it. It depends on how deep you want to go. But generally speaking, I put a lot of footnotes and I make it very clear. I actually give the quotes that's coming out of the document that I'm pulling out of. And so it's very important to read the footnotes and collect footnotes, you know, a footnote that's well done, that really means something to you. You know, by the way, we have footnotes up on our website. I collect footnotes. Whenever I write a document, I go in there to draw off them, the footnotes. If I don't have a footnote on that subject or that word or that paragraph or whatever it is that I'm trying to highlight, if I don't have a footnote on it, well, then I'll go search it out. I'll create a notepad. Put it into the notepad, put as much information as I can find that's necessary, and then I'll save it under a keyword in my footnotes. So if you go up onto nationallibertyalliance.org and you go to judicial and you come down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the fifth tab down and you click on law notes, okay, that's a lot of the footnotes. And I'll add from here from time to time, I'll stick new footnotes in here. But those are the footnotes that I've been collecting over time. And there's a lot of footnotes in there. You know, some of these have lots and lots of different references, and you can choose different, you know, sources. You can choose multiple sources. So when you do your writing, people should be collecting footnotes. And anybody that starts to do this and collect their own footnotes in Notepad or anything, you know, and they're adding to it because they don't see it here, to send me a copy because I'd like to add them to my footnotes. The more we build up on these things, the more knowledgeable we'll become, the more understanding we'll become, the more fluent we'll become, and ability to articulate whatever it is we need to articulate. I think that brings us to the end of everything I wanted to cover tonight before we open up. Let me just end again with the fact that, believe me, for those who are impatient and think that they got to do something strange and odd, trust me, it's already been done before, and a lot of and nobody's gotten anywhere with it. Stay on the program. Trust me when I tell you, you're gonna just watch what we're doing. There's a next step and a next step and a next step, and each step puts more pressure. And we're waiting also, you know, for the news to break. When that news breaks, it's going to put a lot of pressure on it. But the key thing we're waiting for, and this is very interesting, by the way, because we may be coming to that perfect storm point here in New York. I've been invited on the Power Hour. A lot of people know that already. And I'm going to be on that on the 11th of this month. It's only a week away. Next Tuesday, I think it is, the 11th. And when we hit that, I understand there's millions of people that listen in there. So our website's going to be hit up with 100,000 or more hits. So we're going to be getting thousands of hits. I have no idea how many, but we're going to be hitting with a lot of hits. People will come to take a look. And that's when it's going to start to break. We have somebody that is trying to get us onto Glenn Beck. They think they have an inside connection there, so that may happen. We also are going, I think Gerard was talking to me about something about New York that we may get into a radio program in New York City. Gerard, if you're online, you want to talk a little bit about that, pick up the mic. And that may be a little premature, but well, we're invited to something, and it'll be a good opportunity to get a message out across New York, especially the metropolitan area, throughout all of the five boroughs. Into Jersey, all the way out into the capital, I believe, and also into Connecticut. And, of course, it'll somewhat go south and north. So, you know, this, again, is going to be more words. So we have these things coming up. We're going to now start getting national attention. We're going to be hitting 62 common law grand juries, or very close to that, by the end of the month, February here. And that is what we've been waiting for. That is the key to our whole part of success. That's the power. You see, everybody, not everybody, some people complain, oh, you're not doing this, you're not getting, and trust me, we're making progress. If you talk with other people running things in different states that are very, you know, involved, you will find the same thing, like Hagan Smith down in Florida. You know, he's making progress. You know, you may not see it, but he sees it. I see it. I see the pressure. I see these people's faces. I've talked to these people before. I've talked to people of these types, and they're arrogant, and they're nasty, and they try to, you know, intimidate you and bring you down and take control over you. Not anymore. Not anymore. They're silent. You can see the fear in their eyes. They try to say things, and you speak up, and you silence them because you overtake, and they shut up. They don't know what to make of us. They don't understand what we're bringing to them. They do understand. It's the end of their criminal activities. They understand. They have to get rid of their puppet grand juries and juries that how often do you see a judge, you know, go up and get indicted? How often do you see that? How often do you see a prosecutor or lawyers get prosecuted for all the schemes that they run? And I'm telling you, I've been in their courts, and I don't see any honest people in there except for people like myself coming in there that haven't went to the bar schools. But anyway, they're doing all these criminal activities. How come they're not being indicted? What's going on here? Well, because they control the juries. That's why they're not being indicted. The prosecutor is not going to allow any grand jury hear anything about some judge unless they want to throw that judge under the bus. Occasionally they throw, you know who they go? They go after the good judges, like that one down south that had the Ten Commandments in his court. You know, that's who they go after. But they don't go after all these evil guys. Anyway, Gerard, did you want to make any comments before we turn this over to the phones?
No, I don't have any more details on that on the radio show yet, so I don't really want to say anything about that.
Okay.
I mean, that's evident, you know. And listen, in New York State, we don't even have a judicial oversight committee, so there's really the Wild Wild West on the bottom, you know what I mean? Because they had to close them down. They were more crooked than the judges. I mean, you had your judicial oversight committee getting involved in cases in probate and stealing millions of dollars, so they closed them down. And somehow the judges that are in the courts, they know that there's nobody on top. See, at least when there was a corrupt board on top, they didn't know that they wouldn't throw them under the bus because every now and then they had to make it look like they were doing something. So now we have the Wild Wild West in the New York courtrooms because the cat's away, so all the mice are playing. So the second situation is worse than the first. So that's what's going on here. And when we start indicting judges and bringing charges, I think the people are going to be very refreshed about that, and they're going to get behind it. You're going to see a groundswell. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, and we do have some questions out there, John.
Okay, so you're going to have to keep watch on my time because last week we ended up with a lot of people who didn't get to speak, so you'll have to push me along when I spend too much time with somebody. You want to go through it and bring people in and out, or you want me to do it? What, you got your muted mic and talking to a muted mic again?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I try to keep the noise down here. It's
good.
Hard to tell with this thing who's first and second, but it's just as easy to go
well,
from the top.
Well, I start from the top and just go down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the times aren't always accurate, but they're close. So, I mean, if you start with the top, that's 260-744. I'm going to unmute him. You got a question? Go ahead.
I'm listening to learn, so I'll just pass on the questions for the moment.
Okay. Good
Thank
to
you.
Hear from you. Okay.
Next is New Jersey. 201. Okay, New Jersey, 201, you've been unmuted. 240.
Hi, Jason Berg here. How are you doing?
Hi, Jason.
Fantastic. I just wanted to give an update, not so much a question, but what we're doing here in Jersey.
Right
again, I want to thank you for letting me speak tonight. I'm very excited what's going on in New Jersey. Now, our mission here in New Jersey, chapter of National Liberty Alliance, is that constituted 4 counties out of 21. Within 60 days, I will have the balance of the counties constituted. As I attain 10 constituted counties, I will then have my United Common Law Grand Jury of New Jersey ready for the necessary papers for the seats in the courthouses. My action plan is defined as the state leader and county chair. I will communicate daily with my fellow county leaders, utilizing email, telephone calls, prepare study aids, such as PowerPoints, video, audios, social media, and good old one-on-one conversations. I will use every opportunity to encourage community leaders, county leaders, excuse me, and the new jurists, a few of my many ways that I help recruit new jurists. The items I found to produce the best and fastest results are, 1, visit and or call friends, relatives, etc., and ask them if they understand that there are correctable problems facing America today. If they acknowledge, I focus on getting the friend to commit to giving me the respect of watching our 35-minute video on the NLA website to learn more and making discussion. When they resonate with video, they will call me. If they don't, I move contact. A powerful video play a role in getting most of us to become juristic. Let the video do the same for someone new. Our information is truthful and timeless. It needs to be seen and heard. I would like to educate, and my fellow appointment is to help them to make the decision to stand up and join to saving our republic. If they become a member, I'll teach them to continue the recruiting process. I explain to each and new jurist that they are learning valuable information and it's being offered free to everyone. I let them know that this website is a nonprofit entity. The NLA survives off of donations made by the members, such as one that would do at their place of worship. This kind of information is not for sale. It is a gift to everyone in the country. But remember, the website has bills, and we are helping them out with paying a $5 minimum a month per person donation. It is more than fair. And this is a crime. I want the CLGJ looking into as soon as we get our seats in the courthouse. John, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you and to give my message out to New Jersey and the rest of our followers in the United States. First of all, its counties constituted, and New Jersey will be the first state to have all its common law grand juries seated in their courthouses. Again, this is Jason Berg calling from New Jersey saying good night and God bless to everyone.
All right. Thank you, Jason. You know, I just want to look at something real quick. I got an email from somebody, and I want to straighten a couple of things out with some people who may take offense to us asking for money. You know, I've always stayed long away from that. We've done everything we did out of pocket, and, you know, to get to a point where you can't do that anymore, and, of course, that's where we're at. You know, on the old website, we paid, what, $148 or something like that, $168 a year for the site access. We never got billed for anything because we didn't have big broadband or problems of that kind. We didn't have any great security. Even though they said that we had unlimited amounts of information we could put up there, many times told that too much, I had to take some stuff down. We can run a cheap website for $148, but it'd be nothing like what we have. We won't have technical support. We won't have protections or security. Protection against what is called denial of service. So those kind of things, we have to concern ourselves with here. Let me just read kind of some of the things I responded to someone in an email. Again, they thought I was really out of line asking for $5 or money. And they were broke, and I understand that. And people that are really broke, I've been homeless before, so I know. And I mentioned this last week. You know, years ago I had a problem. I couldn't afford $5. If I got $20 and put in my pocket, believe me, it went into food for the house, for the family. And there are people in that kind of condition. So just ignore our request, if you must. We understand that. Most everyone else could afford 16 cents a day because that's all we're asking for. We're not, just read. I may repeat myself, but I'm just going to read a little bit. You know, this is not a $149 per year website built and run by just me. The whole site was of dollars to build and launch our present site. We have many thousands more work planned. This site is not by any means finished, and what we have planned, when you see, as we start to get money coming in where we can really start to build on this website some more, you're going to see some phenomenal things happening on this website to really educate the people in the political process and the judicial process, particularly in the political process where people don't know about and don't understand what's going on. They need to be educated there. Right now, we have 2,000 unpaid bills from, we've never paid that bill, so I owe a bill to them. We have high security to prevent the denial of service. We have 30 servers available to us. I understand, but I'm not sure how things work. But I know at some point when you start you onto the site, you start to have to add on servers. I guess they're called mirror sites. And that's when more money starts to come in. And we're coming to that in the next week or two. We're going to have some, you know, other servers starting to pick up to handle the volume of people. And I think I think that's how it works. We have techs available to deal with the site problems. There are a lot of problems I can't deal with. I don't even have the time to deal with it, but I also don't have the technical ability. So we have to hire techs. We're working out a deal on that and how much we pay them a month. And ultimately it's by the hour. We have audio and files, a lot of audio and a lot of files. They're very heavy, so there are lots of megabytes. And of course, the broadband, is going to really start to erupt. We pay by the gig for our broadband. We pay by the gig for our how much information we put up there. And believe me, we have a lot of information up there for the storage. We have daily maintenance that's required. There's also a lot of internal overhead and costs. We pay $250 a month just for Blog Talk alone, Blog Talk Radio, to get into that process. And so we have a lot. And on the 11th, when we bring this to the nation, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of hits, I'm sure. I know when we won Drake's program, you had a pretty big volume of people, but, we got hit with over 1,000 extra hits than we normally get, and we picked up 120 new people from Drake's program alone. And now we're going on the Power Hour, which is millions of people, from what I understand. If someone can correct that or know the number, maybe someone knows the number of that. But it's a lot of people. And, of course, Glenn Beck will be real heavy, too. You know, if we don't have the proper service, we don't have the proper site, we're going to go down. And that's where the money costs are going to come. And believe me, the enemy's becoming aware of us. They're going to try to give us denial of service. A denial of service is when they overload your site with so much stuff and it blows out your website. Well, we have provisions for that. I think my tech mentioned something about balances. I don't know the technology, so I think that's what he was talking about, that they have balances set up there that prevent that from happening. And we have good security. We have to make sure that this website is downloaded every day. Matter of fact, I'm working on I haven't talked with the tech yet on this, but I'm going to work on a process where I download a copy of the site onto an exterior hard drive, and maybe another person in another geographical location will do the same thing. And of course, they're doing it, and then we put it up on the cloud, plus it's there. So make sure that we don't get destroyed and lose everything. We can get back up in hours or whatever the case may be when we're assaulted, because we will be assaulted. So, when we're asking for money, you got to understand, everybody needs to understand, we need $5 a piece, 16 cents a day. You pay more than that in taxes for your coffee and donut in the morning. Everybody, most everybody. I agree, there are people who have some serious problems, and when we shouldn't burden them, and they shouldn't feel that they're burdened from us asking, okay? When we send out email, it comes out personalized, but it's sent out in bulk email, and it's difficult to pull out all the names of the people that have given. I can't do that now. I just have to spend the time so that they don't keep being asked for money. People say, well, I've already given, and I appreciate it. And it's just that we're blasting it out to everybody. And the people who are saying, I don't have the money, and then they get a little annoyed because they get another email. And, again, I'm going to try to pull that out if I can. But if I don't, just ignore it. Don't worry about it. It's we understand. But most everybody can put $5. Right now, by from the gifts from people have given us in the past, 20 days or so, very graceful. Some people have given us, 100, $200, some people $50, and so on and so forth. And these people is what got us through this past month that we were really starting to become overburdened with. What really we need is the $5 a month from everybody, constant coming in every month to pay the bills. Because if we don't have it, we paid the bills this month, and we're almost up to date with everything now. You know, close, not quite. Still need a few thousand more dollars. But I'll tell you what, in 2-3 weeks, more bills are coming in, and they got to be paid. And if we don't have enough $5 coming in because only 80 people decided to give $5 and the other, you know, 1,600, 1,700 people don't, you know, what are we going to do? And I'll do the best I can to keep things up. But, you know, 80 people giving $5 a piece, you know, that's only $400. That's not enough to pay anything, okay? But if everybody was given $5 a piece, it's more than enough to pay everything. And we'll grow exponentially as we get more people coming to the site and becoming members, and they get the $5 to put in, then we will start to get, we'll start to get more money, you know, as a whole. But we can't expect, you know, a few people pulling out hundreds of dollars out of their pockets every month to carry the burden for all of us. We have to do it together. I'm sorry I got to ask for money from time to time, but either I'm asked for money or this website goes down. And this website's only going to get more and more expensive to run. I know people think, yo, we only pay $148. Well, that's for a website that has 3 or 4 or 10 or 20 visitors a month, or maybe 100 or 200. You know, we knew our maximum back when before we left it. We knew we were coming to that maximum, okay? And, you know, we were able to carry 400 or 500 people a day coming onto that site, but we were getting ready to come on that border and start having some problems. And now, you know, we've got a lot of people who visit this website every single day. We have a lot of regulars, and we have a lot of new people constantly coming onto this website. So, and it's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, more and more volume, more and more traffic, more and more downloads, more and more broadband, and we're putting more and more stuff up constantly, and everything just costs money. The meter is ticking, and it's got to be paid. So, again, I apologize for asking for the money, but bottom line, either everybody just bones up, gets up here and puts up their $5, or we're not going to continue. So, you know, I've said this before on the front page of the website. Only the people can save America, and we're not going to get any rich person to come to give us money. We've had that promise before, and so far it's failed every time, okay? The last, we wasted a trip down to Florida to meet some rich people. The guy had 80 companies, and we didn't get a penny from them. We spent thousands of dollars to go down there, and money that could have been put into this website. And don't expect the rich people to save you, because they're the problem. They're not going to save you. And don't expect 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 people to try to carry, you know, 80, we got 80 people or so that really have given us money. Don't expect those 80 people to carry burden every month. They can't do it anyway. They've got bills. They're not going to be able to give that kind of money every month. So anyway, that's why we ask for $5 every month from everybody, 16 cents a day. That's all it is, 16 cents. The tax for your coffee and donut that you have in the morning, that most of us have in the morning. Although I gave up donuts, so. All right, I guess we'll go to 717. I think that's Pennsylvania. Go right ahead, 717-475.
Hi, John. This is Jesse.
How you doing? How you doing, Jesse? Good to talk to you.
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you.
I got a question. I had an election in Lehigh. I'm going to have one here in Dauphin County, Pennsylvania. And I was reading through the declaration page, and on page one.
How do you spell trouble? T-R-O-U-B-B-L-E?
Yeah.
T-R-O-U.
Are you talking to us, Gerard? Gerard, your mic is not muted here. Calling Gerard.
Oh, something happened.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Okay. On the first page of the declaration, the second paragraph, it says on the day of the meeting, it says constitute a grand jury. Should that be common law grand jury?
Well, you could put common law. I guess we failed to put it there, but we did. You know, look at does it say at the top or any place that it is a common law grand jury?
Oh yeah, it's,
I don't remember.
That,
yeah, it does.
A couple
yeah.
different places, different wording. That's why I wanted to.
Yeah,
the,
bear
the,
in
the
mind. Text. Yeah, you could. You could stick the word common in there. It would be appropriate. If you don't, you don't. Here's the key thing.
Okay.
The grand jury is the grand jury. We're making a big deal about the common law grand jury because we're not the people's grand jury. We're not, which kind of went a different direction than really the people. We're not the citizens' grand jury, and we're not really just the grand jury, which they have, or which is the puppet grand jury. So we wanted to make sure that we let everyone know we're totally different than anything anybody's done so far, and we're the first ones to call ourselves the common law grand jury. And that we did also for psychological reasons, because we knew these people couldn't help themselves. We knew that the moment we brought up the word common law that they would go into a tizzy fit, they would go ballistic. And in return, they responded to us by our proper name and thereby putting it on paper and communicating with us in letters, and they acknowledge us as the common law grand jury, telling us that the common law is no more. So they've separated us from their legal system, and they've really taken away the possibility of them coming out after us claiming to be the corporate grand jury,
right.
You know, the grand jury that they put together. We're nothing to do with that, okay? And they've already acknowledged us that way. So that was a it was really something we thought we had to do. So we made it the common law to be absolutely clear.
I downloaded the zip, because when I did Lancaster's, it was a while ago, so I re-downloaded that zip, and when I opened it up, it read that way. And in the first paragraph, it does say common law grand jury. I'm pretty sure it does.
Right.
That was the grand jury principle. But then it also says in that same second paragraph that starts with on, it says, by electing to reestablish the people's jury here in your county. So that's there, it says people's jury. And I didn't know if
the it is the people's jury. We know that we did want to incorporate that. Yeah.
I just wanted to, you know, bring it to your attention and make sure that it wasn't put to say common law grand jury and it reads the way it's supposed to. If that's fine, I just wanted to make sure that it was brought to your attention.
That's fine the way it is. I may go revisit that and maybe make a change, but that doesn't really affect us. The big thing is the big words, common law grand jury. You look on the seals. You know, in Latin it says natural law by the grace of God. So we're giving glory to God and we're focusing in on the common law grand jury, which is natural law. Natural law is called common law because it's common to all men. Whether they like it or not, they're going to be judged by natural law, every man. The big thing that we do focus on, the big title, is the common law so that they understand who we are and we understand who they are. And we converse. You know, it was brought to my attention recently. I was looking at the Declaration of Independence, and in the Declaration of Independence, it refers to the United States of America. And when you look at the original, it says a small u for United, capital S for the states, small u for the United, so United States of America. Now, when you look in the when you look into the preamble of the Constitution, it says, you know, we the people do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, in that copy, the U is capitalized. And I believe that was done on purpose. And, you know, we're suckered all the time. Even our founding fathers, you know, they were suckered. George Washington was suckered quite a bit by Hamilton and a few other individuals. You know, Jefferson was the one that saw all the snakes. You know, he was so involved in studying and understanding these things, he saw all the snakes. He went to Washington and kept telling him, this guy's no good. You need to get him out of your office. You know, he wanted to root out everyone, to get rid of them all, because he knew that they were enemies of liberty. And so he knew who a lot of them were. And I'm sure some of them got by him, too. But somehow that capital U got into the Constitution. And that capital U should have been a little U, but it's understood. It didn't mean anything back in those days, but not long after the Constitution was done, they started all their dastardly deeds and started to create all these things, you know, the United States, the corporation, in opposed to the United States of America. And also, later on in the Constitution, when it talks about the United States without of America, I've got to go back and check this, but I'm pretty sure it's talking about the government, the federal government, when it's the United States of America with the little U, and it's talking about the states. And this is for, this, in other words, this Constitution is for the states, okay? And they control, by representation, the federal government. And so everything's in a perfect mode, so to speak. And the people are always in charge. They're above, and all of government is below. And when you go into a state and they say, oh, that's federal law. No, I'm sorry. No. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, all of this is for you, okay, because it was written for you, the United States of America, okay. So they can't, in New York they try to make the claim, the Fifth Amendment, that's for the federal courts. It's not for us. Well, I guess all the amendments are for the federal courts, huh? And that's why they're taking our guns away in the states and everything else. So, you know, we the people have to bone up on all this stuff and come to an understanding of what all this stuff, that's why this site is here, you know, to come and learn. So, but anyway, I'm going to take a second look at that when I get a chance, and if I need to change it, I'll change it. But right now, I don't think we have to change it. We're all of that. At some point, we're the grand jury. We don't have to put another word in front of it, really. We're doing it for now because we have to. But when we get common law back, we can go back to being just the common law, just the grand jury. But maybe we'll keep that there. You know, we do have it on our seals, natural law by the grace of God. So here it is.
I have one other question, or I can raise my hand and come back around.
No, go ahead. Take it real quick, and I'll see.
Okay. Well, I just got a meeting minutes from out in the western part of Pennsylvania, and in the meeting minutes, it's about Westmoreland because they have already filed their paperwork within the courthouse and it was accepted, and I guess in these meeting minutes they requested, because it says recently you made a request for the use of county facilities for the purpose of convening a common law grand jury. Because of the legal nature of your request, it was referred to the Office of County Solicitor for review. The legal authority to pursue the implement of a grand jury is codified by the Pennsylvania legislature in 1980 with the passage of the Investigating Grand Jury Act 42 PACS Section 4541, Section 4543 B of this Act, state application may be made to the president judge of the appropriate court of common pleas by the attorney of the Commonwealth for an order directing that a county investigating grand jury be summoned because of the existence of criminal activity within the county. The Act defines attorney for the Commonwealth as the district attorney of the county or his designee, or the attorney general or his designee. Nowhere in the Act does it provide for the implement of a common law grand jury or the empowerment of an investigating grand jury at the request of citizens directly to the executive branch of the county government. This issue lies solely with the domain of the judicial branch and of county government. Now, you know, that's what was in their meeting minutes.
Right. I get the gist of it. It's all BS, to be just blunt. But you know what you do? Go up to our website. Read down towards the bottom on the breaking news where we started with, letters back and forth, and maybe you can get some ideas there. Talk with Hagen on it if he's got time. And if not, and you're stumped and you don't have anyone, let me know and you get it to me, and we'll write you a letter that you can then take and, you can play with a little bit yourself also. But it has to be addressed point by point. The bottom line is I just made the point about the United States of America, that they're under supremacy clause, okay? And that's a key thing. You got to look at that. When I post this document, I'm going to post that I read parts of it, and I didn't read the midsection of it, which is the nuts and bolts of it all. You'll see some language in there you'll be able to pull out and use to them. So you go through these letters and you can pull out paragraphs and different things and then paste together, an answer back to these people, because we have all the ammo there. And and make it clear to these people, we're not under statutes. I don't know where you got that if you think we don't have common law. And you know, that letter that I'm writing right now makes that point. You could take big chunks of that and use it and let them know. You know, we're not under common law. We got, there's a supremacy clause. The United States Constitution is for the United States, you know, not the United States Constitution, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is for the states. That's for you guys. And the United States Supreme Court has ruled numerous times about the supremacy clause. And whatever they rule is law for the whole land. They can't overrule the United States Supreme Court. The only one that can overrule the United States Supreme Court is the grand jury and the trial jury. They can overrule anything they say in their courtroom and turn it right over. It doesn't apply here. They're the only ones that could do that. And, of course, they wouldn't do anything to overrule something that is constitutional, you know. But all of it, what they're talking about is statutes. They're talking about the presumption that common law has been done away with and we're into statutory law. And you got to answer back to let them know, no, there's the Supremacy Clause, there's the Bill of Rights, there's the Fifth Amendment, there's the Declaration of Independence. You know, they're wrong. And you'll find in your own Constitution, Pennsylvania, it'll back you up, I'm sure, that you're a common law. You already found it. Okay, so you got it there. You'll also, if you look deep enough, you'll find it in your statutes there. So use the statutes there also. It makes them, those statutes are written for them to make sure they know that procedures and processes are all according to the common law. We have it here in New York, so we use it. So that's what you got to do. And again, if you need some help, let me know. But try to get, you know, maybe Hagen, or maybe there's some other people in your state that's savvy on the common law and can help you write, you know. Put your heads together, have a meeting on it.
Yeah, the thing is this is the first I got notified of this, because the county is Westmoreland, and I'm the state coordinator, but, you know, trying to coordinate with those people, I have to get a hold of them.
Right, you should do everything on a statewide level. That's what we did in New York, okay? We tried to bring it all. You know, there was a few of us who had the knowledge and the ability to write and deal with these people, and so the few of us that had that abilities, we worked together to kind of keep everyone focused, and wherever the argument of the state was, we worked together on it, and we wrote the papers on it. And again, you'll see that fruit up on our website, you know, on the breaking news place. Also, read the documents. Look at, I tell you, let me tell you what people should really read when they're trying to write papers, okay? When you're trying to write papers and answer these people, okay, on our juris page, go to the juris documents, okay, under the juris tab, juris documents. It's extremely important to read all those documents, okay? On the breaking news page, read all those documents, all the papers we wrote, you know, we had letters and everything else. Go to the judicial tab, okay? Read the court examples, because we have a lot of stuff in those court examples that will help you talk to these people. And also the law notes, which I spoke about earlier. Read through them. Use the key words to discover the meaning of these things and utilize those things. You know, work together to bring your letters together with those words of all those different authorities. That's how you form your letter, using authorities. They speak of themselves, and they have no authority. Everything is, we're looking into it, we're investigating, we're sending it down to the attorney. The attorney's going to look into this. You guys don't have any authority, and, you know, we have this, that, and the other thing, and it's the job of this one to do that and the other thing. You guys can't do that. But they never come out with anything of meat. Where is the beef? There is no beef. They have none. That's why when we wrote the letter, I want to tell you something. That was very serious when I came to the end, to that one point. What's their position? None. N-O-N-E. None, nothing, zero, zilch. They have nothing. The only thing they have is, oh, that's not real. That's not what. That's been done away with. That's passé. That's ancient. It's nothing. So, just realize they have nothing.
Okay.
We have huge volumes of stuff. But if you need my help, give me a call. We'll talk. But see what you could do with a few other people. And if you can, but you do have to answer that. And don't feel that you have to answer it tomorrow. You know. Take a week or two, that's fine, you know. But don't wait too long, and if you need my help, I'll help you.
No, right? Like I said, it's getting a hold of the county organizers that are in Westmoreland. I'll try to get in touch with them tomorrow and see if we can collaborate on a response.
Okay. All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
All right, I'll talk to you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care.
All right, let's go to our next caller. Where's Gerard? You must be pushing me along here. 253-205. You should be hearing. You got the mic now. Go right ahead. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, hi. How are you? Laura Weaver introduced me. My name's Corby Weaver, not directly related.
All right, how you doing, Corby?
Oh, gosh, man. I've been trying to do this stuff for years, and I've seen people go before the IRS downtown and lose their jobs at Boeing and, you know, all kinds of stuff going on. And I really want to have some hope and try to do something, you know. And I'm just trying to get connected. And Laura, she noticed me on Facebook talking about some of this stuff. You know, I probably forgot more than I know now of this, and never seen anyone get really successful with any of this. I don't know what they do. They boggle us or something. They try pull tricks on us.
Well, here's what I've discovered, and everything is about two issues and two issues only. There's nothing else to think about, nothing else to argue, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not giving them consent, and they have no jurisdiction. And don't argue anything else but those two issues, period.
That's true.
And that includes the Nisi Priya Supreme Court, and that also includes the IRS when you go into their courts or tax courts, whatever, it doesn't matter. That's where you're at. Those are the two issues. And you will find that they when you go and challenge them, okay, they don't have any paperwork to back them up. They have no one ever, all their court cases are won without affidavits. Go figure that out. How does that happen? There's no affidavits anywhere, and they win their court cases. That's because there's crooked judges.
Silent consent. When you walk in, when you walk in, they're assuming that you're agreeing to be with them.
That's right. And you have to answer some of these things.
It's like somebody asks you over for a glass of tea, and they pour tea, and they put poison in it, or they put something, you know, they spike your drink. And once you're in there, you're stuck, you know. And
I'm going to tell you four things, okay? And you should research these four things. And all your cases should work about all these four things. Actually, five things, okay? Proof of claim. They don't have any.
Right.
Doesn't exist. Forget about it. Go look for it. Where is it? Okay? Fiduciary authority. They don't have any. There's nothing. They have to do certifications. They're not going to do it. No one's going to put themselves on the line for this. They don't have it.
No,
it doesn't exist.
They don't want to be liable for it. You're right. They don't want to be liable, commercially liable for it. Yep.
Affidavits. They don't have any. They make believe affidavits. The lawyer does an affirmation as if he's the witness. He's nobody. He's
the
third party. He's hearsay. He means nothing.
They'll have a
the guy
stamp
swearing,
of a judge.
The guy that is swearing a hearsay. Then all of a sudden that makes it an affidavit. No, it's not. They'd have no affidavit.
No,
you cannot win a case or file a case, even if the case is a defaulted case. If there's not an affidavit, not a contract or proof of a claim or proof of fiduciary authority in the matter, you don't have those things. There is no, they can't do nothing, and they do it all day long. And why do they get away with it? Because nobody knows to challenge all those things. And they don't have the authority, they don't have the jurisdiction, and you don't consent, and they're done.
I have a workman's comp claim whereby after I went back to work, they fired me because they knew I wasn't being protected by workman's comp. You know, you can't fire somebody on workman's comp. But I was told by an attorney, he says, well, I can't win your case because you're not in a wheelchair, you know. I was told by other people, if you can't work, they'll either, you know, retrain you or, you know, pay you a pension at your age. Being 58, they would possibly pay you a pension. And I was told later, no, that's too hard to get the pension. It's, you know, we can't do that, blah, blah, blah. Well, then they fired me, and then I filed a claim against them for violating federal laws and state laws and all this. So they came back. They gave me a severance which is what you get when you basically get laid off for any reason. And then they wanted me to sign a hush agreement. Well, I had no money. I had to take what was on the table. So they blacklisted me from working for any other federal contractor that works for Boeing in the whole United States. They had that in there too.
So they made you sign a hush, and then they blackballed you?
No, the hush agreement had the black ball in it. It basically said that if I was going to get paid anything, they admitted wrong too in it. I mean, they basically admitted that they had done things wrong in so many words, but they didn't want me to. So I took it to an attorney later. Took it to the state. The state was sat on it, and the state says, "Well, did you take your severance, your payments?" And I said, "Yeah, I had to live on something. It was out of necessity, and they says, "Oh, well,
you can go back and say that was all under duress as you bring it into a common law court." And there's two things about a common law court. If you do it, as soon as the courts turn back to common law, which is going to be a while, and there's a way to push it to common law, but I don't want to get onto that in this forum.
No.
But you see, you get into the common law jurisdiction, and the other side is brain dead. They're coming in with lawyers, and they don't understand what's going on. And if you're in the common law jurisdiction, and they don't know enough to ask for a jury because they're brain dead. And so if there's no jury at the end of your case, you get to decide.
Oh, well, see, I have a final appeal that's coming up on the 6th where I can go in their little tribunal office in there and present whatever facts or evidence I have. But you could try it
and see if it works, and if it doesn't work, you can always go the common law way.
Here's the thing. If I walk in there with a claim of fraud on them for the fact of the workman's comp, it's based on maritime salvage.
If there's fraud found anywhere, then the whole thing is null and void. Any agreement you made with them doesn't exist no more. It's done. You can go back and do it all over, and you can go after and get big dollars.
That's what I would think. I was thinking about making taking it in there and saying you've been operating under fraud with this workman's comp case, and then just making a claim and demand of damages for the damage on my neck and back and stuff, and then put that forward, because if I don't show up, then of course they'll close the whole thing down. But if I show up there,
I can't stay too long on individual cases or anything like that. But generally speaking, I've given you a lot of ammunition. If you remember it, all those points. And once fraud comes into play, that's it. They're done. Right. Everything goes out the door. You're fresh. Okay. It doesn't matter.
Okay,
and the bottom line is you were under duress. You had to survive. And they took advantage of that.
Right.
So.
Right. Then what I would do is file a notice of fraud and basically go get it notarized and take it down there and say the entire proceeding of this workman's comp case has been under fraud, and I demand X amount of dollars in reparations for the medical damage, blah blah blah, whatever. And then they can either answer it or not answer it.
Well, look, it goes through the final procedure that they got offered. Maybe you get somewhere there. If not, then you go into common law. And if you don't know how to do that, you have to learn. We have everything you need on the website. Just study. That's what it's there for. Study and know the process, the procedures, know common law, the principles. And look, when you go into court, you have to know a couple of things. You have to know exactly who you are and what you're doing. If you don't know that, you're going to lose. And also, you got to know who they are and what they're doing. And if you don't know that, you're going to lose. And it took me a long time to find both of those things in myself.
It's an administrative tribunal. It's basically a kangaroo court. It's not even a court. It's an administrative office.
I understand. It has no real teeth.
Yeah.
But you sign on, it becomes a contract,
So when I go in there, if I get to go on the 6th, that's a short letter with my name on it saying, "Hey, I believe this is fraud and blah blah blah," and I'm reserving my rights to get a remedy.
They don't care.
Or
they're going to ignore them. No, they're going to ignore. They don't care. I've been in those courts. I've got to tell you the Constitution doesn't play here.
No, it doesn't. I understand that, but if you get in for fraud, and you make a demand of presentment of some sort, I would think that it's, I would think they'd have to answer it commercially. I mean,
yeah,
you know, they
maybe.
They have
again,
insurance.
You know, I don't know. I don't know what game's going on. So, but yeah, I don't know. You know, look at.
Listen, you got an hour.
I take
you got an hour and 25 minutes, and you got 10 people left, so you got to speed it up.
Okay.
Right.
I go into the Commonwealth Court, period. That's what I do. And there's procedures and processes. You can learn everything on our website, and it could be very powerful.
Okay,
I'll
check it out.
Those things, like I listed off those five things. Affidavits are very important in common law. You ain't got it. Let me tell you, that's important even in their statutory laws. Their own rules.
Okay.
If there's no sworn statements, they have nothing.
No, there is no sworn statement.
They can't give a judgment. Anybody who's ever got a judgment anywhere, you can go in and you can file a default on that judgment. It's called a, oh goodness, let me see what it's called. I forget. Here it is. Yeah.
An arrest?
An arrest of judgment. Thank you very much. Yeah, you can go and arrest any judgment that that was decided on in fraud. Any judgment, and let me give you a little insight. That's every judgment. Any judgment that has been given judgment to the other side is usually under fraud because they have no affidavit to support it, and therefore it's
right.
Fraud on the court. Overturn it. And
fraud
pretty much
court,
any judgment that's been fraud about anybody, you can go in and do this, and it doesn't matter how long because there's no statute of limitations on common law.
Right, on fraud. Yeah, once you bring the fraud up and you bring it forth, then you can move with it.
Right. So anybody
okay.
can have anything overturned because they're all fraud, every one of them.
So,
I haven't
so,
seen a case
yes,
that
yes,
wasn't
so
yet, not one.
Yes. So basically, just, you know, I'm having some emotional illness problems right now, so I'm just trying to put a line in the sand. I'll go in there with a statement saying this is X, Y, and Z. This is true and honest and accurate, and here's my name and number, and you guys are acting illegally. You've defrauded me out of this, and I'm
well, you do an affidavit, and you just go and just tell your story as best you can, and you swear to it, and you've got your affidavit. That's all it is. It's plain talking. This is what happened on this date, that date, the other thing. This is what they did to me, and I'm swearing to it, and so on and so forth. You tell your story, and an affidavit unrebutted is rules of the court.
Right. Okay. So you could take it like Superior Court, something like that.
Right, but you got to go learn how to do it because it's, if you get an attorney, you lose.
No, exactly, exactly. You got to go in there.
You
got to
do it yourself. Yeah.
Sui
juris, they say only a fool. Lawyers are taught that only a fool represents themselves. So if you go sue a lawyer will go get another lawyer. Boy, that's a fool if I ever saw one. But
exactly.
You know, the truth of the matter is you know, anybody that gets an attorney is a fool. That's the truth of the matter. So anyway, I got to move on. There's lots of other people.
Okay.
So.
Thank you. Okay.
Good talking to you. Right. Bye bye.
You too, brother.
All right. Next call 303-717. You got the mic, 303-717.
Don, it's Charlie.
Hey, how you doing, Charlie? Good to talk to you.
Good. By the way, excellent memorandum. Okay. My email from the producer from Joyce's Power Hour was for
right.
the 21st.
Okay. Not for me, though.
You mentioned...
Someone else? Oh, yeah, I'm booked for the 11th. I'm booked for the 11th in the morning. I can't see my board from here. It's light. I know there's 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock in the morning on the 11th. That was confirmed.
Okay, because
did you hear
I got
something
a confirmation.
Else?
Yeah, I did. I got a confirmation from the producer. It was on the 21st.
Oh, and for who? For me?
Yeah, for your interview with Joyce.
Oh. All right, I'll give them a call because she sent me an email and we went back and forth and chose different. Maybe they got me booked twice. I'll go on twice. But I'll call her
that's
up to
great.
Confirm. I'll call her up to confirm the 21st. I mean, confirm the 11th. And if they confirm the 11th, then I'll call her up later on right before the 21st to confirm that one and see what's up. If
yeah,
they want me on
I,
again
I,
or something, you know?
Right, because I sent Gerard because I know your email situation. Not like his is probably any different. But I sent him a confirmation of my letter sent and the producer's reply.
Okay.
So,
Gerard, did you get that? Send me a copy. Did you send it to me, too?
Yeah, I did get it.
All right, well, I'd like to see a copy of that. Okay. All right, I will double-check on that. I'll find out what's going on tomorrow. So,
okay,
anyway,
that,
what else you got?
That, I do have a couple questions, quick. You said that the state leader should not be self-appointed. Could you clarify
quickly?
Well,
yes and no. Yeah, let me clarify that. People have jumped up to become state leaders because I've asked them to. We need a state leader for every state. So we need volunteers. Now, if they're doing a good job as people are coming on board, of course, by all means, they should keep that person because, you know, that state leader should be serving all of the people, and your job is to really coordinate everybody, get everybody to know each other, get them to the meetings, get them to the Monday night meetings, get them studying, getting them to the website, and just keeping them moving. You know, if you don't move the people, they become lumps on a log, and it's going to get them hard to move again, you know? That's the job of a state coordinator, and anybody doing their job, the people would be insane to get rid of that person who's doing their job. But there are state coordinators that have taken on the job, and they haven't done their job, and they've been removed by the will and the wish of the people in their state. There's been state coordinators who have abused themselves, and I've gotten calls where they said, hey, we got meetings together, and we don't want this guy state coordinator no more. We want this person state coordinator. I'm not going to argue with them. It's their state. They do what they please. God bless them because they're doing their job. If the person is not doing their job, they got to be removed and someone else. And it shouldn't be an insult. You know, they should. I would do it politely. Say, look, it doesn't seem that you have the time to do this, so we're going to get Joe or Mike or Mary to do it instead of you. You know, whatever the people work out, that's their business. But. Yeah. Let's look at Jason. Jason calls all the time. He's out of New Jersey. Okay, he stepped up and took on the job, and you can hear today what he's talking about. He's rocking and rolling. He's moving the state. He's committing. He's saying, "I'm going to get 21 grand juries before the next 2 months are out." We've got 7, and I know it was because of him they got the 7. He pushed. He made phone calls. He got people. He's doing things. You know, as long as the guy's doing the will and the job of what the person, what they should be doing, they should be working. You know, sometimes people may get out of line. You can tell them, hey, you're going a little overboard here or there, and that's okay. That doesn't mean you got to get rid of them because they're doing a good job. They're doing a good job. But, again, that's your state. You guys do what you guys want to do, you know. I don't get involved in it. But
no,
that's
I totally
the way
agree with
works.
You, John, by the way. You basically have done a turnkey. For those of us that are in the individual states to apply that process, as you said, as administrators. And that is my question in this particular case, and it can be valuable for all state leaders. If you have a particular county where you have individuals that are borderline not following the process, you know, we can tweak things. I understand that. That if they're invalidating everything that is part of the turnkey, what would be your advice and counsel for those
leaders? Look at anybody. Look at there is a process. There is a judicial process in our nation. It exists in every court throughout the United States. They're all the same, and so you have to follow that. Anybody thinks they're going to adjust that? Then they're not playing ball and they're wrong because the process has been put in place from our founding fathers. It's been here for a long time. There's nothing wrong with the process and the procedures of the court. Nothing. And the way things operate and go. We have to meet that and be conformed to doing our things according to that because it's logical, too. It makes sense. So the problem is the people that are trying to prevent other people from getting in, that's where the battle comes in. Now, we have a framework. And I go over this over and over again, and I try to do it as often as possible. I hope other people are repeating it, and that we have principles. We come in a sense of honor, you know, a sense of justice, and a sense of mercy. Delete any one of those, and you're going to lose common law. And anybody who deletes them, you should think about getting rid of that person. Well, you got to get rid of them. Because look at, you're going to take a commit. We do have the oath that we take to the governor of the universe. It's up on our website. Everybody should take that oath, okay? And they should take it down and get it notarized. Everybody, and no one should serve as a jurist until they've done that oath, okay? And that oath is to the universe of the governor of the universe, God, and we also show where in the Bible it says you can take that kind of an oath, okay? So for people who think that maybe they can't because the Bible says they shouldn't, well, no, the Bible says they can and they should. You're just promising God this, that you're going to act in the best way you can under the principles that he set up. And his principles is that you have to be honorable. You have to be just, and you have to apply mercy accordingly. And that is the principles. Now, if you have 25 people in a room and you got a person that's giving you a problem and they're obnoxious, okay, and they don't adhere to those principles, they took that oath, you remind them of the oath they took. And there's also two maxims, you know, without an injured party, there is no crime, okay? And for every injury, there must be a remedy, okay? So those are the basic principles and maxims that we run by. And everybody takes an oath to that. So it doesn't take much to see that there's a person in the room that just is going the wrong way on this thing. They're egotistic, maybe they're vindictive, they're political, or whatever the case may be. You'll recognize it, you'll know it, and you go together with the other people and say, "We got a problem. We need to talk with this guy." So you pull him aside and you say, "Hey, look, you know, you took this oath, and you need to cooperate this way." And if they continue with their being obnoxious, dump them. No problem.
Yeah.
You can go on with 24. Okay, if you're in the middle of a case and you dwindle down to 24, you can dwindle all the way down to, I think we're kind of throwing a number 12 out there. So a 25 can dwindle down to 12, and once you get below 12, you might want to reconsider the case all over again with a fresh body. And that's a suggestion, because I don't know, you know, there we've seen these kind of rules around, so we kind of threw that in as something to work off of. But people will figure that out on their own.
Legal maxims are an excellent thing for people to study on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard the number 14, by the way. Last question is, could you...
Well, we chose 12 because of the trial jury.
Okay. There was a debate between unified and united. And the two words are synonymous.
Yeah,
I
think they are, yeah.
So is there a debate over that?
Well, if you take a vote on it, the majority will rule on it, I guess. You know, I mean, just take a vote on it. We use unified because that's what they use here in the court system. They call themselves a unified court to unify all the judges in the counties.
The actual national court system uses united.
I'm saying my court in New York uses unified, and so we threw those words back at them because it meant something to them, and we thought it was good words, and it kind of blows their doors off when we say we're the unified common law grand jury of New York,
the evidence I've found with the national united courts. Out of D.C. in Denver as their satellite. They use United.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
I was just a little curious because there was a little bit of a debate in Colorado about that. Lastly...
Yeah, you guys want to figure that out, so...
Yeah, exactly. We do. But we want... The only reason why I'm raising the issue is for the benefit of the other states if they have that problem.
Right. I would
suggest,
again... I'm just going to suggest using unified because we started with that. The battle is on here in New York, and it shows that we are together everywhere. You know, same thing with the seal. We made a big thing about the seal. We've had some people that made some seals up, and they went a different direction with them, and we told them that this is not the right thing to do because, look, at that center of that seal is set up to lift the natural law. That's the purpose of the center. You know, it's done in Latin. And it says natural law by the grace of God. And now the very which is the number 1215, it brings us back to the first known grand jury, which was the Magna Carta. And so, again, very important, and it shows unity that we all use the same center things. Now, the outside is what's different in every place, because on the bottom you have common law grand jury? Well, no, it says just grand jury. On the bottom it says grand jury. You need that. Yeah. So you have the common law on the inside, your grand jury on the bottom outer ring, and then on the top outer ring you have to have your state and your county. There's no room for anything else. That's it. Everything's filled. Don't remove God and don't remove natural law by the grace of God, because if you don't look to lift God up in this thing, we're not going to be blessed by him and we will fail. Now, I know a lot of people, not a lot of people, but some people, you know, they get a little upset about those things, but they tolerate us. But the truth is, only by God's mercy are we going to get anywhere. I'm a firm believer of that.
Gerard,
hey, John.
So
we better lift them up. Yeah.
Gerard, pull the plug. One last question. It's really important.
No, I'm not
2 weeks
pulling
in a
the plug.
Row.
I got something for you. I got your email.
Oh, it says,
thank you very much, Charlie. I've got John scheduled for February 11th. Thank you for passing us along.
Oh,
Catherine,
Lord have mercy. Okay, I apologize, sir.
Okay.
So you saw the numbers backwards, is that right?
I'm not
the 21st?
Okay. I'm a little bit dyslexic.
That's a new fault. You add them together. 11/11/22.
Okay. Last
well,
question.
I
want to
tell you
UCC.
Something. I'm dyslexic, too.
Good.
I am. I see things backwards,
quite
I guess.
We're
a pair. 11 is the safest number to be dyslexic with.
okay. UCC, that usually correlates with their statutes.
Right.
Have you gotten that?
Have I gotten what?
That's why we try to stay away from it.
We can't use UCC in anything we're doing as – well, I want to tell you something. Listen to what I'm saying. This is very important. There's an atomic bomb coming, okay? We haven't unveiled it yet. Believe me, when we do it, you're going to know it. You're going to say, wow, okay? And if we don't use it to get into the courts – once we get into the courts and we straighten certain things out, then we're going to set it off then, because it has to be set off no matter what. And it's going to blow you away, and you don't need UCC. UCC is, first of all, Uniform Commercial Code was really used for really doing things in the commercial, especially when you get into the international, and the business between the states to some degree. You know, they were given some powers there. But for the people to use it in their regular courts and to get into, you know, the SESQ funds and to play around with all this stuff, you're playing in their fiction. And when you're playing their fiction, you're really just using, dirt with dirt. Why even bother? Let's go into the common law courts and let's the real stuff and get the real damages and go after the real people. There's ways to win in their courts, believe me. It's very difficult to be able to get out and talk too much about it because, I do give little tidbits here and there, but, that's not what we're about. We're really about getting the common law grand juries together. And remember, when the common law grand juries together, all of that stuff is like a bubble. It's the land of Oz. It's not really there. And it's just going to burst and be gone.
I do agree with you, but it's not dirt. It's mud. It's mud.
Yes.
It's ammunition until... Mm-hmm. We get the restoration of the common law.
Well, here's the problem. I if people want to do that, I don't want to discourage them. You know, if they feel that they're confident and competent to be able to run those cases and not get themselves in trouble and not go to jail on it, well, then fine. They're taking a big risk, I'll tell you that. I have not studied it enough where I would ever use it because I haven't studied it. And maybe if I studied it, I might use it. But it's not where my mind is going, though. But I can tell you the last person I know that used it is facing 6 years in jail right now. And because he didn't know all the dots and the T's to be crossed. Now, here's my point. If people want to do it, that's fine. I don't put that down. But don't connect it with the grand jury. We have a group running around or a person who wants to go out and do liens on judges using the UCC as the grand jury. That's an act of war. That's going to blow it. That's going to hurt every one of us.
I totally agree with you, Mr. John. But if one does that activity as flesh and blood, a soul, separate from the activity of the unified common law grand jury process,
God bless
you.
And if you
acceptable?
Think you're good enough to do, of course, of
okay.
course. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Look at there. I know people, look at some of our teachers. They do that. I know one guy who's collecting right now or trying to collect right now. He's doing some things. He's going down to talk to people, and he's working out the freezing of assets and all that stuff. And the guy knows exactly what – I don't think they're going to get him. I think he's going to be able to escape them because he knows their game. So if you know – look at – here's the bottom line. When you walk into a courtroom or you do anything in the legal arena, anything, okay – you need to know yourself, and you need to know who you are and what you're doing completely. You need to know who they are and what they're doing completely. If there's any mystery of yourself not being sure or what the other side is going to do, you better not do it. That's all I got to say. And that's,
I agree.
You have to find yourself. When I found myself and understood who I am in the court and where I'm going, and what my authority was in the court, I understood it, and I could articulate it, and then I understood who they were and what authorities they didn't have and how weak they really were and how I can deal with them. Okay, that's when you start to win. Until then, you're not going to win.
Who and what you are, the question is very important. I will yield to the next caller, but I will encourage whoever is left on this call, for God's sake, not – please, John, do not ever apologize for asking for $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
People should be putting at least $25 a month to National Liberty Alliance. God bless you.
I appreciate
good night.
That. Thank you. Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night. Okay, we'll take our next caller. Let's see. It's 203. That looks like Connecticut. 807. 203-807. Go right ahead. You've been unmuted.
Yes. Hi, John.
How you doing?
Yeah. I wanted just to mention real quick, I know you're backed up again with the callers.
Yeah.
So that's good. I was wondering, you were mentioning last week about, the sheriffs, obviously, they might not, follow, the different things and,
mm-hmm.
Obvious. And I was wondering, have you ever been in contact with Sheriff Richard Mack at any point?
Yeah, I've talked with Richard Mack quite a few times, and we've had him out to New York, and we've had breakfast together and dinner, and he's a good guy. I like him, and we've had exchanges over the internet a little bit. And but that's it. But he's not interested in what we're doing. He doesn't understand what we're doing, and that's okay. He'll come aboard when we do what we're doing. And one of the things we're doing right now, we realize is important, is we're sending out memorandums. That memorandum I read earlier today when we started off, which will be posted soon, we're going to start sending out messages to all those people every week or every 2 weeks. Whenever we do something, we want to explain to the people what we've done. So we're sending it out to the court, all the court clerks, all of the county clerks, all of the judges, all of the sheriffs, and we're sending it to the people. We have a lot of media. We're going to send it out, and we're going to ask people to repeat. Every time we do it, find whatever local newspaper, send it to them. Shame on them if they don't print the people's business, okay? But we need to get the word out, and we need to start to educate these people as we go along now, because the time's coming when they're going to see what's happening, and at least they have been educated, they've been introduced to us, they know who we are, they know that we focus in on the law, we have supporting authorities behind us at every level, lifting up everything we're doing, and they have none, and they're nothing but criminals, and we call them for what they are. We made the decision not to use light language on them. because we're not going to pussyfoot around. We've got to go out and tell it the way it is. Why give half? Look, it is what it is. And we're going to tell them it's all fiction. It's fraud. They've hijacked people. They got to stop it. They're hurting people everywhere. You know, I can't tell you the horror stories that I hear all day long. Children suffering, old people suffering, houses being taken away, children being taken away. I hear this all day long. You'd be weeping, okay? They're damaging everybody. Well, it's got to stop.
Right. That's your motivation. I mean, that's been your motivation because you've seen what's happening under the present. But, you know, getting back to Richard Mack, you know, in some way, you know, I'm surprised that, you know, as far as,
he's been poisoned. There's someone close by to him. There's someone very close by to him whispering in his ear. He's already come whispered in my ear trying to take me down a road that I shouldn't be going down. And then I found out later on that he's very close to Richard Mack and he hangs out with him. He goes everywhere they go to travel together. And he's tied us with a group of crazy people who are doing some really crazy things, in my opinion, with the grand juries, okay? And we stay away from that. So he's tied us into that group, too, because this guy lies to him. I'll tell you what it is. I'm going to call a liar, okay? I'm not going to mention his name, but if we're ever in public, I will call them what they are because there's nothing else to say. They're a liar, okay?
Right.
But that's what it is, problem. And that's okay because, you know, Sheriff, when he sees what we really are all about, and right now God doesn't want him with us, I guess. What can I tell you? You know, whoever's with us is, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't go out to try to get people to come sense. I don't go out to target people to listen. You know, involved with this, let me get that person to join us or this. You know, I just go out to the general people and have a message and they come, fine. If they don't, they don't. If someone else gets to them, fine. You know?
Right.
Well I'm in for the people. John, that's what I'm, the regular people.
Absolutely. But the reason I mention it, because I've seen where he's for educating the sheriffs to defend the Constitution. So, you would think, I mean, just for that point, you know, regardless of what organization, he doesn't have to back any organization, but he's for educating the sheriffs to defend the Constitution.
Right, but understand, his understanding of the Constitution is extremely limited. Extremely. He's using the Constitution for what he wants to use it for, and he's right what he's using it for, but there's so much more. He doesn't understand the Fifth Amendment. If he did, he'd be with us. He hasn't studied the Constitution in a scholarly way. He hasn't researched these things out. He's researched what he had to research out for his case, and I think he's doing good work for that, and that's okay. That's good. That's good. I'm all for that.
Well, that's good, and I appreciate that, John. This way, at least, you know, I just want to get someone like that. Imagine a sheriff.
Right.
Would obviously listen to another sheriff before he'd listen to someone else. I just thought that would be interesting.
Yeah, well,
but,
look, if, you know, we have Bob Schultz also. You know, I know Bob Schultz pretty good, and he knows me, and we don't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff, and he's going in a different direction. But lately we've been hearing some rumors that he may be looking towards his common law finally, and we'll be happy to have him aboard if he does come aboard, and he would bring a lot of people. He hasn't been pulled in, and I'm not going to go chase him to pull him in, and one day he'll recognize it. Maybe it'll be after we finally take control and start doing the good things we need to do, and it becomes obvious to everybody that this was the right way to do it. Whenever he'll come along. Bob Schultz done great things.
That's a good point. People will probably come in at, you know, different levels of progress, so that will be, at least reassuring to see that.
Right.
You're hoping, you know, I know what you're thinking. You're hoping that people have the vision right now to be able to see that this thing is just on point. There isn't one thing you've said that's just, you know, really, solid. You know, it's like, you know how even in regular politics where, you know, you're for a guy, and but he's not everything. He doesn't hit on all eight cylinders. You know, there's nothing you said that's not correct and good old American common sense. Well,
yeah,
I'll let
that's
you,
what common law is all about.
Yeah,
and we need the good old common person. I'll tell you what, we just need the common person. And, you know, the least educated, the better they are. I mean, not that educated people aren't any good for us either, but a lot of them have a lot of things to get rid of, you know. And so I think the least educated have the least amount of mind control on them in different ways they think. You know, bar lawyers are absolutely convinced, common law does not exist, been done away with. They're convinced of it. And remember, judges are lawyers. And that's why you're not getting common law in the court, because they've been taught that way. They think it's crazy you bring in the common. That's passe. That's ancient. That never didn't work. We got rid of that. You see, that's what they're taught.
Right.
And so that's what we're up against, and that's the problem. And, you know, they're so far away from God, that's why they have no problem doing all the immoral things that they do.
Yeah.
You know, godly people aren't going to do what they do.
Exactly. Yeah, I know. It's almost like, you know, anything that an official does, it's always the worst thing for the people. It's almost like you said, it's like clockwork. It's always
right.
The worst.
So these evil people, I've heard them say, everybody's got their price. You just got to find their price. Well, they haven't met me. I don't have a price. And they haven't met Gerard. And there's a lot of people I know that they haven't met Hagen. They haven't met us. Okay?
Right.
I don't have a price.
Excellent. Well, thank you, John, and I'll wish you the best for this week, and congratulations for being a guest on the Power Hour.
Yeah, okay, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, John.
God bless. Bye.
John,
yeah.
I got a question. Listen, when somebody wants to send you an email or me an email on the site, I mean, they're not supposed to send it to Tech Support, National Liberty Alliance.
Right.
So,
no, I don't. If it goes to Tech Support, I don't get it. They get it. And Tech Support has followed me a couple of times saying, hey, I don't know what to do with this. This isn't for me. So don't go to Tech Support. You can go to the contact. If they go to contact, they can send me something through there. Just don't make it long-winded, because I don't have time to read long-winded stuff. I got so much to read. My eyes can't take it.
Listen, how do they get them to me? The site is bouncing mails to me, so what are they sending it on, the chat, or where is that coming from?
Oh, probably, I'll have to check, but if you go to contact and you click on contact, it says site contact here. Go to the site and click on contact. Okay, now you'll see site contact. And it says, if you have a technical problem, please click on technical support above, below the contact. But this will get to me and you right here. This is where you're getting these emails. This is site contact.
Okay. But it says if you have a technical problem.
Then go up and click tech support.
I see. Please click on tech support above, below the contact.
Yeah, well, I said below the contact tab. Maybe that's confusing.
Okay,
I should reword that.
Right. So if they send it to site contact, that's the one that I'm getting that I try to browse through every day.
I get a copy of that.
I'm not always good on it, but I'm better than you are. What?
Right. I get a copy of that, and you should be getting a copy of that. And I think I have a copy going to my son, because he's been answering some of these things.
Right.
Anybody has something they want me to know, this is probably the best thing to do. But look, don't go crazy with this. I can't read long. When I get a long email, my button moves right onto that delete button real quick. I just can't read it. I got too much to do. But, you know, if you got a situation, get to the point. If you're saying
somebody
to me, hey, I want to be the state coordinator.
Somebody sent you links to the Constitution. Somebody sent you some links for the Constitution and the paperwork you were asking people to send you.
Right. I got a few I haven't posted yet. Yeah, I have some on my desktop.
Got
I haven't posted
to,
yet.
I didn't notice that, but I'll go through and look.
Right.
Right.
I'm looking here right now real quick to see if I see any. I got South Carolina Constitution I haven't posted yet. I think I got a few constitutions and maybe some. Now, I've gotten some links from some people that I didn't recognize, and sometimes I won't click on a link. You know what I mean? So.
Well, send them to me. I click on everything.
Well, good luck with that one, you know.
As long as it doesn't have an EXB at the end of it, I'm not.
Just sometimes I feel that I shouldn't click on certain links. You know, I just don't do it.
Right,
right.
All right,
but
so
anyway.
Chances are we got, if they did it to the site contact, then we both got it, and we either have it and haven't opened it, or it's sitting there. So if that's where you
right,
sent it,
right.
Then we should have got
yeah,
it.
But,
I mean, I don't know.
But this site contact thing, think for a particular problem or a particular issue that needs to be addressed, and it should be short, you know, message should be very short, and, you know, like, hey, I'd like to take on the position for state coordinator. You give me your state and your username or password. Not username. No, I don't need your password. Your username or email. But I got the email here. That's how I find you. So it asks for your name, your email, and then your message. So I have everything right there. Just give me your state that you're in, you know, whatever state it is, and you'll be the state coordinator, and then I'll make you the state coordinator. And then you coordinate, and you're doing a good job. They keep you on board as you're moving the state along. You know, we have people that fall asleep at that job, and other people call and say, I can't even get this person. They don't even answer their phone. They never return the calls. And we put this to, you know, be the state coordinator, and so, you know.
Yeah.
So I do whatever the state tells me to do.
So,
all right. Okay, let's see if we can get back on track. Where are we? You made me lose our place.
I don't know because I was I'm answering questions on the text chat. Let me get
back. Yeah, I gotcha. Let me see. I think 203 we did. Let me just real quick. 203, we did you already, right? 807, 203?
She's open.
Yes,
still
that's
open.
Correct, John.
Yeah, he's still open.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
So
we
that's
just did him. Okay, good. All right.
Okay.
So 509-680, you got the microphone, 509.
Well, thank you. This is Gary. I'm from Washington State.
How you doing?
I was looking at your site and getting interested here because of the common law. We've been trying to use the common law defaults in just the lower courts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about the idea that you're using the offensive approach, bringing the judge and the prosecutor and the officers. And then I've been reading through the 189 pages of common law process for court procedures. But I'm a little lost as to just where you take it, because you're going to be taking it to these statutory courts and the lower courts. And if you want to take the judge on, what do? Go to Superior Court? It says over on the right, you know, magistrate.
I'll give you a little hint. You add them to your defendants list. You just muted them. You get a new judge.
No. Okay.
You understand
but where
that?
Where do you take it? Suppose you're in a district court.
No, you go to the court. We own the courts. It's our courts. You go into your common law court. They call them different things, you know. They call the Court of Commons in Pennsylvania. They call the Supreme Court in New York. They may be called something else in your state. But every county has a court where trials take place. And if you look into your constitution, it'll tell you what courts are the common law courts. It's trial court, okay? And every county has one. So it could be the county court. It could be a district court. They call it all kinds of things.
Okay, well, supposing I'm taking a district court judge and his prosecutor friends, that's what I call them,
yep.
Do I go out of that courtroom?
They're conspiring against you. Just remember that.
Yeah, well, I know that, yeah. We know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sure as to just the picture of what it looks like. Superior Court, is that a trial court?
Again, what state are you in? You're in Washington?
Washington.
Yeah. I don't know the structure of Washington. Every state seems to be a little different, so I can't say. The Superior Court, it sounds like sometimes they call the Superior Court maybe the Appellate Court in New York, and the Superior Court maybe is where you go to go after the trial court.
No, I'm just talking about my county, in the county seat, your county seat, my appellate.
Right. If you go to your constitution, if you go to your state constitution, and you look, you run the keywords through there, run through, common law, common court of records, court of records, run those keywords through, and you should find somewhere, for instance, in our constitution, it says that the Supreme Court, the county court, the family court, and maybe a couple other courts are all courts of record. Okay? Now, as soon as they said that, you go look up court of record. A court of record is a court that proceeds according to common law. So by constitution, that's what they are. So if I go into a court and they hijack me over to the other side and I don't object, which means to the statutory, they start talking about statutes and I don't object to that, then they just hijacked me, and I'm going to lose that case, ain't I?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to win there. Those two guys are working together. They're meeting. They're having lunch together. They're playing golf together or something. You know, they're out to get you. They're teaming up. That's a conspiracy. And so, if they violated your inalienable rights, what are you going to do?
Well, I need to go higher.
No, that's your court. I'm the sovereign of this court. This is my court. I opened this court. Look at here. Well, I shouldn't get too deep into this, but the bottom line is, add him to your defendants list. You muzzle them. Next judge. Let's see what he does.
Uh-huh.
We do it all the time.
Well, I'd be interested more in just seeing the picture of this, because I was looking on your example.
Well, I shouldn't say we do it all the time. We just started doing that strategy, and it's working. So, but I don't want to get too deep into that conversation, because we want to really focus in on what we're doing in the common law courts. I mean, in the common law, with the common law grand jury. So, but, you know, just remember this. The day is coming real soon. If you really want to change things and fix the courts, put your time into this. Let's get common law courts back into our state in every county. Now you can walk into a court and you don't have to worry about all this garbage, because they're not going to do it no more. Because if they do, all you do is make a phone call to the grand jury. And we're going to create a national registry. It's being created right now as we speak. We just don't have the page up, but it's automatically being put in. Whenever a grand jury is constituted in a county, and one of the state coordinators goes and checks the box that now they have that county elected, you know, constituted a grand jury, it goes on to a special page, and there's a place for a phone number, which we'll talk about soon. And eventually every county will have a phone number that they have to get, and that's going to be a hotline. And that hotline is going to be available. People will be able to come onto the site, look up their state, look up their county, get a hotline, get on the phone, and they're going to be talking with the administrators of the grand jury and say, hey, I got a problem. And they'll have someone to talk to. And maybe it could be fixed with a few phone calls from the grand jury. If not, then we'll get involved. But that's how we're going to do it. And so if a judge is out of line, believe me, you call up that county where the judge is out of line, and we're going to make a phone call to that judge. What are you doing down there, you know, Magistrate Joe? What's going on? We just got a phone call from a case. Didn't we talk about this already? You see, that's how we're going to fix all these problems. And you're going to get your common law. And the next time you go to court, one of us will be sitting in that courtroom listening to see what Magistrate Joe is doing. He's not a judge. He's a magistrate. Remember that. That's the other thing you have to get into our minds. No judge can judge you. Only the people can judge you. Any judge has made a judgment, it's null and void. It's totally irrelevant. It doesn't have any power, no authority.
Okay, and that creates a big mess. Huh?
Look, I haven't picked that up about the difference between judge, magistrate, and the tribunal.
Well, you know, you can call them justices. Justices reflect the will of the tribunal or the will of the king, ultimately. The tribunal of the people. The tribunal is either the grand jury, the trial jury, or the sovereign of the court. If the other side is brain dead and you brought the case up and you're the sovereign of the court, you're the plaintiff, and you're coming in righteously, and you're fighting the defendants on the other side, and they're brain dead, and they don't know enough to ask for a jury, at the end of the trial, you decide. You're the sovereign of the court. Certainly an elected official paid by the government can't decide for you.
Mm-hmm.
Although people seem to think they can, and they're doing it. Are we insane? You know, this sounds kind of strange to us, but really think about it. It's the other way it's strange. You've got a government-paid agent who's politically astute and conscious, who's going to maintain the status quo, getting a government check, and he's an elected politician, and he's a bar-taught individual, and we're going to trust he's going to handle our case? He's going to be the judge of our case? Are we crazy? You know, just think about that. That's the crazy side.
Right.
Now, you go into the court and you stand righteous, and you have a righteous case, and you win, you decide what the penalty is going to be. Now, if they come back and they show that you were unrighteous and that you violated them and you defrauded them, well, that's a whole different story now. You know, they start to learn how things work. And everybody will understand it once we get the process back, because it's a lot simpler than what we have to begin with. You know? So.
Okay. I think I know where I'm going to go. I'm probably going to go look around in my own court and just ask them, where would I find a common law court, or a court of record, anyway?
That don't exist, they're going to tell you. They've done away with that. That's ancient. That's what they're going to tell you.
Well?
They don't have common law courts no more. Look, you need to go find out for yourself. Go get your constitution. Spend time on our website. Click on common law. Start listening to the video. Watch the videos. Listen to the audios. Start reading all the documents, and you'll become educated. And before long, if you're really, you know, studying up on this stuff, before long, you'll be able to go into court and deal with all these situations and know exactly who you are and who they are and how to handle them. You can't deal with them and you can't win if you don't understand who they are and what they're doing. And you also have to understand who you really are and what you're doing. You're the sovereign of the court. You need to understand that. You need to go in and talk as the sovereign of the court.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it upsets them, but, you know, oh well.
You'll get contempt.
Well, you don't go that far. Look, when you know you're going to get contempt, you sit down and you pull them off the bench. You write your papers, you send it in, you put them onto your list, your new list, you know, your defendant's list, and they're gone. They're done. They're not going to comment no more. They can't. They're muzzled. They're the defendant. What are they going to do? They can't say nothing. They can't hold you in contempt now, can they? They're not the judge anymore. You got a new person up there. Anyway,
okay.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right.
That's enough. I'll go searching. Right. Well, one other thing.
Yeah, everything you need is on our website. We have a complete, rounded education.
My problem was I did say something on the website, and I haven't got an answer. I'm looking for this MP3 that I can listen to daily.
Which MP3?
Do you have an MP3 link where you can listen to?
Yeah, but I mean, what subject matter?
Huh?
We've got lots of MP3s. We've got a lot of MP3s. What subject matter?
On the common law of jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah, on what?
On common law jurisdiction and using the courts.
Oh, yeah. Go up to our website. Put your cursor on judicial. You have to be logged in to do this, though. Put your cursor on judicial, okay? Top right side, you'll see common law. Click on that, and you'll be there for lunch studying what's on that page. We have videos. We have audio. We have written material.
This is, you get through here, you have gone through common law school.
Okay. All right.
If you work on this over and over again, it'll osmosis. You'll get it by osmosis. Just keep going over and over again, and you'll be. Then the only thing else you have to learn is court procedure and process. How do you fill out the paperwork and all that stuff? Well, that you'll find also under judicial, and you click on court access course. Okay? And that'll teach you all the paperwork, give you the process, give you an anatomy of a court case, and you marry these two things together, and you can walk into any court and do what you got to do. Okay, but do the common law first, the process comes second.
All righty. Thank you.
Okay? All right. You're welcome. Okay, let me see if we can go to our next caller. 573-556, you got the mic, 573-556. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, you got the mic.
John?
Yes.
I just finally made it to the site contact page instead of the tech support page, and sent you a copy of the Missouri Constitution and Missouri election laws.
I will download them.
Web link.
Yeah, I might have gotten that already. I'll check. You know, if I didn't get them, I'll get it. And I just haven't put them up yet. But I'll get that link and we'll take care of it.
Okay, because they were too big to email.
Yeah, it's better if you give me a link to get to the PDFs, and we'll put them in. So,
now,
anything
one thing
else?
With the Missouri Constitution, I could not separate out the United States Constitution that they have in the same book.
Okay, I'll take a look at it. I should be able to split it out. I'll split it out.
Okay, apparently you're more talented than I am. I found that out already. And by the way, thanks again for all the support you're giving us out here. And hopefully we can make more progress and put a little fire under ourselves as well as some other people and get all the counties constituted in a hurry.
Mm-hmm. That's the main job. Everybody out there, whatever county you're in, if you don't have a grand jury in your county, you can have one within 1 week. Just make the decision to go and find a place, call everyone you know, follow the procedure that we teach online, get a hold of the other county court organizers, partnership with them, ask them for help, talk with the state coordinator. Hopefully you have, most states have one. I think there's 12 states without. We need state coordinators in 12 states. So if you can't find a state coordinator, maybe become one. But then it's only a matter of going onto the Juris tab and then click on how to start a jury. That's simple. Follow the instructions. 35-minute video. Download all the paperwork. One person said, hey, it's plug and play. So click on how to start a jury and plug and play. That's simple. Once you constitute the grand jury, you don't have to file. You're a constituted grand jury. You exist, and you can pile on with the other grand juries in your state, but you don't have to file it with the court and the county until you feel comfortable and enough people supporting with you. And when you feel comfortable, you'll file it. But go ahead.
Right now, the problem I'm experiencing is trying to come up with a digital projector and screen. The library here, they will not loan any audio video equipment.
Well, talk to other county organizers, ask for help. Talk to the state organizer, maybe he can locate somebody. Talk to other people with you. And we just discovered that there is a very high-tech, high-quality a digital projector available in, I think it's Office Max. Gerard, you
Office
remember
Max?
Where that was? I think it was Office Max. Gerard, if you're there, come on the line here. This is a very tiny little thing. You can put it in your pocket, and yet you put it up, and it puts on this big, it's unbelievable out here, the screen.
What's
like
that, John?
6 foot wide. What was that digital thing? Was that for a projector?
Oh, it's a pocket projector. And
how much was?
I think where were we looking on what site? Some of them are expensive.
The one we were looking at was under
300.
Yeah, I thought they were under 200, one of them. But you don't need anything really expensive.
Like 2 inches by, I don't know, it's like about the thickness of a cigarette pack, if that.
And tripod stand is probably bigger and heavier.
And it puts an 8-foot picture on the wall.
Well, I'll get one of them then and just shine it on the wall. Iota, because I haven't been able to find any locally unless I rent for about $150.
You can also find a projector screen very inexpensive online. Google it. Look on Craigslist. You can even buy them new reasonably cheap too. I mean, I had two of them, three of them maybe even I got, but they're not expensive. And so when I go out, I have my digital projector and I've got my, my screen. It folds up and it rolls up and it collapses and just slide in my car and I go off, and I have my computer with me and I plug in.
I'm not working. I'm disabled and I'm Social Security.
That's why your partnership with other people, and you'll find somebody. Someone will have one somewhere. Believe me, they're all over. A lot of people have them that you'd be surprised. But someone will have one. And again, when you talk with the state coordinator, he's going to help you to whatever way he can, and he'll locate people and he'll try to locate other leaders close to you that may have one and can come out and work with you on it, and so on and so forth. The other thing, what we're doing. You get a good state coordinator and starts to plan, you can do 3-4 counties at a time,
That's the problem, John. I am the state coordinator. And I live in Jefferson City, and, I'm sorry, it's Darrell Walton. And I live in Jefferson City. I've called the other county coordinators and also some of the jurists. And they're in more depressed areas than I am. They don't have, a lot of them don't even have cell phone access in their area.
Mm-hmm.
In Missouri, we're not as high-tech as New York is. And
what you might want to do is also...
electronics.
Also, if you're connected with Liberty groups, sometimes people in Liberty group, you get them involved and they can help you. Your veterans groups, libraries.
That's what
I'm
trying to do now. I've joined a couple groups and I plan to attend their meetings and see if I can get some assistance along that line.
Right. That's where you need the help. And you got to first sell them on what we're doing. You got to get them out to drink the water. If they drink the water, they'll probably come on. So get them to the front page, watch the video. And that's how we excite them, and they usually come in. But also, like you said, the libraries. You're having problems with the libraries? They won't let you use their digital stuff?
That is correct. Well, they don't have digital. They have analog.
Oh, okay. Well, you
and,
can use the analog,
they said that,
I think.
They don't even rent out their analog or loan out
their analog. Well, you're going to have to come back and talk to them when you have authority, but you should make mention to them. You do understand that I'm one of the people, and this building, I paid for this, and I paid for that analog thing, and I've paid for everything in here. It's for my use. Now, if you think
that
I need to
speak to the head librarian, and she's not there now.
Okay, well, you should get it. We've had a place where we went and they didn't want us to touch it, but they did let us use it, and they said they did the hookup and made the connection and plugged in. The only thing we were able to do was touch our computer, and I'm happy with that, and that may be a wise idea, Don't have 10,000 fingers touching a piece of equipment like that, So, because these things can get, the ones in the libraries are very expensive. Those things are $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 in the library, the big ones,
Maybe that's a mistake I made. Maybe I should have asked if they had someone there that could operate it during the meeting.
Right. All they need to do is come in and turn it on, and then when you're done, you go in and you tell them you're done, and they'll come in and turn it off. And they'll take care of that.
That's what I will request. Thank you, John. I didn't even think of that. See, that's why you're so helpful. I've been through this.
Also, try to find another library. Remember, it's not the only library in town. Well, maybe the only one in town, but you'll find one maybe next door somewhere. You know, you'll find other libraries. So.
Well, I'm thinking of using the library that the politicians around here use. They seem to have better equipment.
Okay. All right. Anything else?
Thanks. I appreciate your time. Oh, and thank you, Gerard, for helping me locate that site contact. I appreciate it. God bless you guys.
You're welcome. Hey, Best Buy has that little Pico pocket projector, soft black, $259. Best Buy. I just Googled
Best
it.
Best Buy.
Okay.
Best Buy. Okay.
AXA.
Thank you very much.
I
appreciate that.
So what you also can do is combine with other people, and then you can share it and do what you got to do. You know, so and loan it out to others that don't have it or whatever. But you know,
we'll work it out.
We're not going to get rich people to help us. So good.
It has memory on it, so you could download everything on it. You just carry it out. You put your program on it. It has memory on it. So
it
plays whatever.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yes, I'll do that. I found out that most of the jurors and some of the county coordinators in Missouri that I'm working with, most of us are disabled and on either retirement or Social Security. I thought that was kind of ironic that all of us have also run into about the similar type problems with our state and federal government.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And if you're not working, that's going to give you more time to bug the government and sit there and pursue this stuff, you know.
That's what I told them. And I said that what the first thing we need to do and the most important thing we need to do besides having our election is to go to the website and study everything on there. So, and even to quiz each other on the stuff so we know it like the back of our hand. So when we do come up against these people, we won't get ourselves in trouble.
Well, listen, if you tell a lie 27 times, people accept it as the truth. So John and I have come up with the theory that we're going to keep telling the truth, and we're going to do it like 57 times, so maybe they'll get it after a while.
Yeah, look how many times Obama said, if you like your plan, you can keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can keep it. Doesn't mean you're going to be able to get anything out of it.
That's true. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Yeah. I'll let somebody else come online. I appreciate all your help.
Okay. Thanks.
God bless you all. Goodbye.
Talk to you again soon. You too. Godspeed. Okay. We'll go to our next caller here now. It's 845, my neck of the woods, 445. So you're calling out of New York, 845. 445, you got the mic.
Hey, John, how are you? This is Paul in Orange.
And Mr. Paul, how you doing?
Hey, it's a great day to be alive. Just wanted to give everybody an update on what's going on in Western New York.
Go ahead.
We have 14 counties total. As we know, we have Niagara and Monroe County already constituted. We have five more counties for Western New York that are coming on board for the 8th, and two more in Central New York that have stepped up and they want to get constituted on the 8th too. So we have over 50% of Western New York, or we have 50%. We're at 7. We have 7 more counties. We need Orleans, Wayne, Yates.
We got people coming from Wayne, by the way. Wyoming.
So we got and Wyoming.
And Wyoming. Yep. What other ones?
Orleans.
Yeah, Steuben. I don't know if anyone in Steuben or Orleans has coming yet.
Allegheny and Cattaraugus.
Right. Those are the hard ones, and we do have a lot of people. I've made some contact, but I don't know if anyone's coming, but we need to try to get them. And also, you know, Joe down there in Tremont County, he's working with us, and he knows a lot of people in those central areas.
Yeah, I got
an
email from him, too.
Western,
okay.
So, yeah. And he's going to be strategic to what we're doing because he's got digital equipment also, and I know he'll help us to mop up whatever's left in the western side
Super.
Of the state there.
Very good. So we got Wayne in Wyoming. That puts us at 9. So we only need the 5 more counties in western New York, the 3 on the bottom of the southern tier there, Cattaraugus, Allegheny, and Two Men.
Chautauqua, yeah. Chautauqua?
No, Chautauqua we have.
Some of them stuff. Okay,
yep.
Good.
I got it. So,
we got to work on Cattaraugus and Allegheny. You should call people in the surrounding counties and push them to try to find some people to come, you know?
Oh, yeah, I've been doing that, and
okay.
I contacted a bunch
Great.
Of fracking groups, but that's where we are, so looks like we're up to 9. And did you say Yates was... in there, or do you know anybody from Yates?
No, I don't know anybody from Yates yet. No.
Okay, so Wayne and Wyoming
and that's
are accounted
that center
for.
Too. You know what? I'll tell you what. I think Joe will get people from Yates because it's right there, and that's his neck of the woods. How about Tompkins? We got people from Tompkins?
Not yet. I talked
okay.
to people there,
you
but
with Joe.
Nobody
Joe
stepped up
get
yet.
These people. Joe will get these people to come out. Just have them come to vote. That's all we need them there for. You know?
Right.
Even if they don't take on the paperwork themselves, we'll give it to a next door county to hold it for them until someone emerges and you know comes up to take it.
Right. But we're going to be back in central New York in 2 more weeks anyway. After that, so
right. And
I'm just trying to focus
part,
on
yeah.
Western New York. If those people want to come from central New York, God bless them, and we'll help them. But you know, right now we're just we're targeting as much as Western New York. Because it's such a long drive for us.
Right.
And we're going to be back in central New York in 2 weeks anyway, so. But
yeah, 2 Saturdays. Right.
Cool beans. And good night, everybody, and keep on keeping on.
Hey. Thank you much, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Okay, let's go to 970-213. You've been unmuted. 970-213.
John.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Excellent. This is Eric, Larimer County, Colorado.
How you doing?
Pretty good, but Colorado is not so well. I believe that we're involved in a hijacking of Colorado through the Colorado NLA State Representative Charlie. I've been collecting evidence and data to uphold.
Okay, well, let's talk about this privately. You can give me a call tomorrow, and we can get everybody involved and talk it out. And whatever the state decides to do, you got to do. You know.
Well, I was just curious that we held.
I don't like to bring up names on the thing because you know that's only going to cause division, and so we got to be careful. And, you know, I talk about situations that's going on, but I don't bring up names or states. We've got states with a problem, you know, one state in particular. But, you know, I don't want to single them out, you know. But I'll help you through it whatever way I can, you know.
So Colorado has 2 state representatives. One of them is out of the country, therefore leaving another one. We
right.
finally held one of our first meetings using Robert's Rules of Order.
Okay.
To me, it went quite well for the first meeting. We did make mm-hmm. votes. We did have debates, and we did table issues. And then somewhat after that, I was emailed by the other state rep saying that we are to now vote by email on something we had already voted on with record,
mm-hmm.
on record.
Right.
So,
well, you want to make sure that you do bring everyone together for this and work things out together and make a decision together. I know, look, it's real difficult, you know, with such a big state, you know, if I went to Long Island and traveled from Long Island up and out, all the way out to the western part of New York, it would take me every bit of 9 hours. Right now from where I'm at in Dutchess County, I'm a little over 6 hours to get to the end of the state, the western part of the state, so it's a big state. And what we did is we pulled a meeting for everybody in the southern tier, and we made some decisions. But those were all the state, the counties that we, you know, constituted very early on. Now we've got Niagara all the way on the other end of the world, so to speak, in Monroe. And in order to pull them into our decision-making, and we don't meet really physically often, but in order to make a decision statewide, we need to do something online so we can pull Niagara County and Monroe. And in the next week, you know, we're going to have another, maybe as many as 14 more counties coming on board. I forget what number, I think he said 14 counties. But anyway, we're going to have quite a few more counties coming on board in the next week, and they'll have to be pulled into the vote and decision-making of whatever we're doing. And remember, the state coordinator has to be someone that, you know, as far as making a decision on yay or nay, whether to have one or two or three or anything else, you really got to, it's going to have to be democratically done. And of course, the person that's doing the best job, that's organizing and coordinating everything well, you'd be crazy to get rid of that person. If there's problems with that person, then you discuss it with them and you can't correct it. Then if you want to create another, put another person, it will always be up to the state, and they'll have to decide how often they want to replace that person. They may have someone that's so good at what they're doing, they may want to leave them for a long, long time. I don't know. Up to the state.
You bet. But under the guise of NLA, this person, state representative, sent out an email, says this of impaneling a unified grand jury in the next few weeks in a central area. We or perhaps can secure a private office setting without cost to begin investigations, or three different libraries week that do not charge, and we can carpool.
I will respond to that right now that no investigation on anything should be started until the entire state has been pulled together, has elected. The only thing you're going to do is try to get into the courts. That's what you're going to investigate. We're doing investigations here in New York, but it is investigating the clerks and the judges that are keeping us out. And that's the only investigations we should do. Let me just finish. This is so important. It's the only investigations we should do until we become empowered. And then we need to empower everyone else throughout the state. And once we do that, then first order of business is to save the republic. We need to bring our judges under control, our prosecutors under control. We need to, you know, get close with the sheriffs and make sure they understand their business and what's going on. And then after we do that, then collectively on a state level, unified as a unified or a united grand jury, we need to come together to discuss matters with our representatives up in Albany. We have the 150 assemblymen, and we have 63, senators, New York senators. And we need to meet with those two groups of people to straighten them up and read them the Riot Act. And once we bring the state under control of the people again, now you're probably going to be in a position ready to start to hear cases. But you're going to be hearing those cases under the auspices of justice inside the court. If you're not doing it inside the court, then you shouldn't be doing it at all, because you're going to get yourself in trouble.
No doubt. You're preaching to the choir. But a part of this email was the number one that this state representative wanted to get a unified grand jury so that we can reopen the JonBenet Ramsey murder trial and bring those to justice. Second one was
I hear what you're saying. I think we should talk about this privately, and then I think the state needs to get together and figure out what they're going to do, and they need to bring things in order accordingly and work it out. But I hear what you're saying, that those are things that at this point are not the important things. We have to get control of our state. We have to get control of our legislators. We have to get control. Well, forget the – look, the first order of business is to bring courts of justice, and then bring the political realms into order. Once you do those two things, you just save the republic in your state. And you got the, when you get the sheriff on understanding who you are and what his job is, and he needs to be boning up on a grand jury, on common law, and understand the Constitution, and we'll help him every way we can. And he needs to understand, he needs to prepare for emergencies in that state without the federal government. You need help, you call on the people. You call the grand jury, and I'll tell you what, we'll muster all kinds of people for you. Whatever you got to do. But you see, you know, all in an emergency within the county, the sheriff needs to understand that the resources of that county remains in that county. That belongs to the county. It's to take care of that county. And whatever excess they have can flow into the other counties. And if all the counties are doing the same thing, we'll be helping each other with our excess of resources, and we'll be maintaining ourselves and take care of ourselves, and we don't have to deal with this craziness from the federal government coming in with their martial law and controlling our food and everything else we do. You see, this is the first order of business. And until we can feel comfortable that we've achieved that, then we should be doing nothing, nothing. I have 1,000 cases I'd love to see, and I'm not going to bring any of them before the grand jury until the grand jury has stabilized the republic in the state and feels comfortable that they can relax and they're working with others. Now you can start hearing cases. But meanwhile, we'll be helping Connecticut, we'll be helping Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maine, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, and even travel to the other parts of the country. But we'll be working to save the republic first and foremost in our own state, and in doing so, we'll be saving the nation.
Well, under the guise of NLA, this is what Colorado State Representative 1 is doing under the guise of NLA. So I really don't believe, from what you've said, that's NLA's mission. It's being sold here in Colorado.
Work out your problems in the state, and if you want to talk to me, you can call me. If there are two sides or three sides and you want to bring them all together and you want me to talk, I'll talk. And let's do what has to do in your state. Let's get focused in on the job. I just laid out the job. You agree with that job. Everyone should. That's what we're doing. Anybody doing anything else, I'm going to try to deter them in every way, shape, or form. They need not to, they should. Do we need to save the republic? What good does it do if we save cases of people and we lose the republic?
I agree. We held an 8-5 vote, and then immediately the state representative called the five of the people, I was one of them, a sociopath. And she is emailing, pardon me, this
all
meeting
right,
is
right.
Emailing
look
under
it, this
the
is
office
not gonna,
of NLA.
I understand
this is
what
way
you
more
said.
Serious
let
than,
us,
than,
let
this
us
is way
talk
more serious
tomorrow.
Than you believe, John.
I understand, but it also isn't something that we should be talking. Listen, this is not something you should be talking nationally. You should be talking statewide. Why don't you call together a statewide meeting, and if you want me to come in and sit down and give thoughts and ideas and suggestions, I'll do that. And that's
needed.
The best way to handle it. Then let's
it
do
is
it.
Needed.
Set it up. Set it up, and I'll help you any way I can. Okay, and I'm my decision making is all for the one. Look at, we're focused on principles and we're focused on a goal, and anything outside those principles and goals have to be set aside. We can never compromise the principles, and once we achieve our goal, we can make new goals. I want to tell you something. I tell you with tears. I know people that need our help so severely, and I'm going to have to set them aside. You know that we can't. Well, I know I can't even. You'd put you to tears. I tell you so many stories. But I can't do nothing for them, even when New York is all ready to rock and roll. Well, we're ready to rock and roll to save the republic first. If we go to save these people, they're still going to lose anyway if we don't end up saving the republic. So we got to do the first order of business. You know, when our forefathers came, before our founding fathers, when they came to this continent, first order of business, food and shelter. That's the first order of business, food and shelter. And it's education and justice, same thing. So let's talk privately outside of the national realm. Let's get state realm.
Well, would
okay?
you take that? Would you take that in your hands? Because I have reached out multiple times and just am unable to get a hold of you.
I'll make calls to people in Colorado. It's Colorado, right? I'll make calls to people in Colorado. I'll call the state coordinator there, and I'll call other people I might know there, and call other people, and I'll ask them if they want me to stick my nose into it, and including you. You know, I'll help you, and I'll help you to find a resolve to this and get things back on point, and we will hope that you take the right focus on this. You know, like I said, we have another state that went a different direction. And again, they went from the top down. They started the unified grand jury. How can you unify grand juries when you don't have any yet?
That
okay?
was one of my points. Yeah. Well.
Yeah, so you can't do that. And, well, that's another state. I'm not talking about your state. If you have that problem, I don't know yet. But I'm talking about another state. So I got to call all the people in those states and make sure they understand how we're doing this. Now, if they all in one accord decide to go that route, I'm going to ask them to pull the plug from National Liberty Alliance. We'll look for some other people up in that state. We're not going to be part of that because it's not the proper way to do things.
So this is very important. So this is super
important. It is very important.
This next point I'm going to make. I was threatened that if we do not file, that the state representative will file for us in our county.
Okay. Again, I understand. I understand what you're saying.
Do they have a right to do that? But do they have a right to do that? Can they come into our own county and file paperwork to be
I already told you no. That's the wrong thing to do. We have counties. We have counties who have not filed, and they're not ready to file. They don't feel comfortable to file. God bless them. I'm praying for them. We're going to help them to get better, to do what they have to do, and feel stronger and more supported. And the big thing, I think, for those two counties is they're not surrounded with other counties. We're so far away from them. So I understand what their position is, and there's no way we're going to force them to file. That's why we're helping to get that whole west set up. We're helping to get the central and the northern part of our state. We're going to fortify everything, and then they're going to feel comfortable to file. And they'll know, look, I'll travel seven hours to sit and talk with their judge with them if that's what they want or a problem or such. I'll come out there. Gerard will go out there. There's other people that we have capable that can go out there. We'll deal with it. We'll help them.
What's your point of view on Robert's Rules Order? Because the first time we used it, this is when the actual fight broke out, was that people think Robert's
Rules Order. Just so you know, we only got a few minutes left, but I'm going to have to cut off in a minute or two. But, I agree with Robert's Rules of Orders. It's a good way to go forward in a large meeting in different ways. Some people may be able to go without it, but when you have a lot of people, Robert's Rules works well. But bear in mind, I would think when you get a whole state together, like we have 62 counties, and if you have four representatives from each county and we do get together at 62 times four, I think Robert's Rules would be necessary. But if you're coming together with a half a dozen people or even maybe as many as a dozen, it's not necessary. As a grand jury, it's not necessary. As a trial jury, it's not necessary. You got one person, you make the foreman, they got the hammer, and everybody obeys. The only thing that foreman can do really is say, put things into order. He can't muzzle anybody. Everybody gets to say whatever they want to say, but they just put it in order.
As I declared order in our meeting. Well, if you could get a hold of and Eric here in Larimer County have great concerns about Colorado, sinking before we even put afloat our ship.
Okay. All right. I'll talk to some people tomorrow. I have an interview on the radio tomorrow in the morning, and so in the afternoon I'll try to call and we'll talk. And, you're a different time zone anyway. So, with that,
I've
got to go.
Email me.
We're about to close that. Yeah?
You can email me at any time.
All right, I'll give you a call tomorrow. I'm going to call you tomorrow, and I'll call the state coordinator and a few others. We got to go now, okay?
Very well, thank you.
Okay. All right, we've come to the end of our program here, and we're about to close down. I think we've got 2 minutes. We got 90 seconds. I'd like to end here with a Bible verse, and it's out of Proverbs 4:1-10. Hopefully I get it through it. Hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Give wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. So if we need anything, we need wisdom. Wisdom is a gift from God, and we have to bend a knee to the governor of the universe. So with that, good night, and Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday night. Thank you.